big government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I would have loved to have given the listeners a heads up. It is the 23rd day of July 2008. I would have loved to have given people a chance to tell their friends, family, neighbors to tune in. But I said last Friday I was going to call Willie Nelson over the weekend and try to get him on as a guest this week to speak out against an attack on Iran and, of course, to support Congressman Dennis Kucinich and his co-sponsors, who this Friday are going to be before the House Judiciary Committee bringing forward evidence of the crimes of George W. Bush. Well, I didn't call him this weekend. I didn't call him this week. Time just flies by. I called him this morning, and he said, well, today's a good time to do it. In fact, earlier the better. Let's go. So we're scheduled to have Willie Nelson on in about 5 minutes, starting in the second segment of the radio show today. And in fact, I meant to have his 35 articles of impeachment in front of me. Will somebody Google that so I have that when I don't even have time to prepare for this, because I literally called Nelson about 45 minutes ago. I was in the middle of getting ready for the normal show, trying to set him up Thursday, Friday, or next week. And he said, well, today's better. So Willie Nelson will be on with us from the tour bus coming up in about 5 minutes. Ron Paul narrowly escaped death. Remember with Payne Stewart in 2000, the famous golfer, the aircraft, the Learjet depressurized, all aboard were killed. It's high mortality rate when this happens. This happened with the congressman and seven other congressmen out of Texas when they took off from Houston and then had to do an emergency landing. Ron Paul was scheduled to be on tomorrow. I wonder if this little snafu will get in the way of that, to be talking about the Iran war, what's happening with the economy, and a lot more. But Congressman Ron Paul is scheduled tomorrow. We're also lining up Dennis Kucinich tomorrow or Friday. So a very, very busy week. We don't like to announce these big guests until we pretty much introduce them onto the show for you to ensure that that happens. But a lot of important information as we continue to track things here for you. Trey, my producer, has landed another gigantic guest for 2 weeks from now, but I'm not going to hold my breath. We'll just see if that happens. The person is set up for 2 weeks from now, roughly. I'm not going to get into it. Just heads up on that. It's pretty big. Okay. Flight carrying Ron Paul, others in the Congress, makes emergency landing. KHOU News. Houston, a Continental Airlines flight carrying seven members of Congress from Houston to Washington was forced to make an emergency landing after it lost cabin pressure. Yesterday afternoon, flight 458 was bound for Reagan National Airport, but was diverted and landed safely in New Orleans, a spokesman for Representative Ted Poe told 11 News. Poe and fellow Congressman Nick Lapson, Ron Paul, John Carter, Ciro Rodriguez, Solomon Ortiz, and Henry Cuellar were aboard the flight, said Poe's press secretary. Ironically, the seven congressmen were trying to get back in time for a Tuesday night vote on an aviation safety bill, a spokesman for one of the representatives said. There were 118 people total aboard the plane, Continental spokesman Julia King said. All right, I'm going to take you out with a little 10-minute report that's up on Infowars.com of Dennis Kucinich eloquently asking you for support for his impeachment move, which definitely puts his life in danger. Let's go ahead and go out to break with Congressman Dennis Kucinich.
I want to thank you for the support which you have given to my efforts to hold this administration accountable for taking us into a war based on lies and for the destruction of the rule of law and the destruction of cherished constitutional principles. Because of your support, this Friday in Washington, D.C., I will make a presentation before the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives, at which time I will make the case that this president has violated his oath of office, violated United States law and international law, has separated our nation from our Constitution, and has taken us on a course that has been so profoundly...
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history,
comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entire...
...the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives, at which time I will make the case that this president has violated his oath of office, violated United States law and international law, has separated our nation from our Constitution, and has taken us on a course that has been so profoundly...
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
Gas prices are out of control. Fight back by doing what thousands of listeners to The Alex Jones Show have done. Developed by a major oil company, a product that really works. Introducing SFR's Protect-A-Complete Fuel System and Engine Treatment. Just one bottle increases mileage for up to 6 months. Fleet tested by major oil companies showing improvements in every car tested. Stop paying mechanics your hard-earned money to have your injection system cleaned. Protecta cleans up to 95% of new injector condition in just one tankful and is safe for all cars. Tests conducted by General Motors conclude fuel injectors can partially plug in as little as 5,000 miles due to poor gasoline quality. Fight high fuel prices by purchasing a Protecta fuel system treatment for only $9.95 and receive an engine treatment free, a $12.95 value. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Go to oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com or call 888-USE-SFR1. That's 888-873-7371.
Even terrible gas prices don't come close to the disaster of food costs from shortages already destroying millions of American families. Wheat for flour is already four times more expensive than it was about a year ago. Food costs continue to double because there's no food worldwide. The only solution is to use now and store for later great flavored super bulk foods that cost half as much as your groceries cost last year. Get on the web at eFoodsDirect.com.
Human life worth.
And what happened to peace on earth?
We believe everything that they tell us.
They're gonna kill us, we better kill them first.
But I remember a commandment, thou shalt not kill.
How much is that soldier's life worth?
What happened to peace on earth?
And the bewildered herd still believe in everything we've been told from our birth.
Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth?
And that's the whole point. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. The White House, Pat Robertson, even a lot of Democrats are saying Iran is going to get a nuclear weapon, that they've sworn to attack Iran. It is a complete and total lie. The White House has told Israel, go ahead and attack, and that if Iran fights back in any way, that nuclear weapons may be used against them. Every major oil company and different brokerage house predicts that gas prices will at least double, probably triple. that will assuredly send us into a depression. But Pat Robertson and others, I have a clip of him, say that doesn't matter. We have to go ahead and attack Iran. There is a gentleman named Dennis Kucinich, congressman, who's been on with us in the last few weeks, can be coming on later this week, who Friday will boldly be before the House Judiciary Committee, bringing forward evidence of crimes and lies by the Bush administration to try to get the committee to vote to bring impeachment to the full House, to the floor. Then if the House votes for it, that is an indictment. The House acts as the grand jury. Then it goes to the Senate as a trial. The crimes of the Bush administration dwarf probably by 10,000 times, and I mean that literally, the crimes of Richard Milhouse Nixon. We must bring impeachment charges, because if we don't, they are going to have the political capital to fail forward and start World War III. Joining us is Willie Nelson for the rest of the hour. Later in the hour, we'll be taking your phone calls specifically on impeachment and on the Iran situation, the inside scoop from Congressman Ron Paul, people inside the CIA and others. Is an attack in September, probably in September, as an October surprise for the election. And I'm just very honored to have Willie Nelson joining us from Council Bluff, Iowa, where he's going to be playing tonight. Mr. Nelson, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Alex. It's good to be on your show. I hope you're doing good.
Man, it's the best of times, the worst of times. Life's great. It's beautiful in Austin, Texas. We got great people like Willie Nelson out there to listen to. But meanwhile, there is the establishment trying to ruin the wonderful time we're having. How are you doing, Willie?
Oh, I'm doing fine. We're in Council Bluff, as you said. This is our third attempt to play Council Bluff in the last 2 years. We tried it a few weeks ago, and a tornado hit the stage and hit the bus. And so we decided we would go away for a few days and wait till the weather calmed down. So we're back again. So like you say, maybe third time's charm this time.
Absolutely. Willie, I called you this morning. I wanted to get you on to get your take on impeachment. And you said, let's do it right now. So here we are. It really seems like we're even begging the question, why do we have to get up here and point out all the crimes? They're so evident. But I just look at the courage of Dennis Kucinich, definitely putting his life in at stake out there. Very dangerous administration. And I wanted to get you on to get your take on Dennis Kucinich and impeachment and find out if you're supporting it, and if so, why?
Well, first of all, Dennis Kucinich is a great friend of mine, and I've supported him ever since I've known him. And I've always admired the way that he stood up for the little guy and told it like it is, and, you know, to hell with the consequences. And you got to admire a man that has that kind of nerve and you know, I wrote the song you just played a while ago, Whatever Happened to Peace on Earth. I wrote that for Dennis Kucinich's campaign. And it pretty much tells where we are today, just how much is a human life worth, how much oil is a human life worth these days. There has to be a price tag on it, or else we wouldn't be going around the world killing people over oil. I love the way Dennis is handling the impeachment thing. And, you know, I think he's got, 54... impeachment charges against George, and there's probably another 54 laying around out there if he wants to go get them.
Absolutely. He first introduced 35. Instead of Congress didn't act, he would add more, and he has. He did pressure them, the Democratic Congress that was supposedly elected to punish Bush's crimes and to end the war, now becoming very transparent. They're in the same military-industrial complex hip pocket of those special interests. But he was able to get the Judiciary Committee to hear his charges coming up this Friday. And I just wanted to put the call out for everybody to call the House Judiciary Committee and to call all of your members of Congress and tell them, look, it's admitted that the wiretapping of U.S. citizens without warrants, each counts a felony. It's admitted that lying about WMDs in Iraq, and it's come out, we have the White House documents that they knew they were lying, those are felonies. Willie, give us your sense on all these crimes that have been committed by the White House and why you're supporting impeachment.
Well, I are you still there?
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What main thing that bothers me, I think, is the fact that anyone in this country can get by with murder if they happen to be the president of the United States, have all the government behind them. And I don't think that's right. I think if, you know, if I get caught on the street smoking a joint, I'm going to jail, you know, so they don't ask no questions. They just pick me up and throw me in there. How can a guy get away with all the things that he's gotten away with without even a slap on the wrist? I mean, Bill Clinton, we impeached that guy just for, you know, a little bit of indiscretion. So this is a lot more serious than that.
Well, it certainly is. Of all the articles of impeachment, which ones do you think are most important?
Well, I probably couldn't name the articles of impeachment by name, but I do know that it was wrong for him to go to war. I do know that a lot of our guys and gals have lost their lives and lives have been ruined forever because of the law that he broke. And for that alone, he should have to pay for it in some way. Impeachment seems like a minor way. You know, the guy's going to be out of office in a while, and I'm sure there's a lot of people going to follow him around and try to charge him with all kind of things even after he leaves office. But the point that you brought out, the fact that we're so close to a war with Iran and that anything this guy does between now and election day could spark it, I think an impeachment hearing between now and then might slow the guy down. It might get the attention of the world and us on trying to stop a guy who's really intent on starting a war.
Well, you're right. And it also shows the world that we're serious about getting our name back. I mean, we've always been known not as being perfect, but as the good guys. And now
we don't have to do that. In fact, I think we should set ourselves up as the world's peacemakers, not the world's warmongers. There is a place in the world for a peacemaker. We all know that.
Absolutely. So I think it's important for the world to see that the American people are at least attempting to see that justice is done.
Absolutely.
Now, you were right. That is the second article of impeachment, is falsely, systematically, and with criminal intent, conflating the attacks of September 11th with a mispresentation of Iraq as a security threat as part of a fraudulent justification for the war of aggression. And we now have the memos, the White House memos and others, where they knew Iraq had nothing to do with it. Of course, they knew that from day one, being the authors of the attacks, the 9/11 attacks, but that they were going to go out and sell the public on this. And now, conservatively, there's a million dead Iraqis because of this. I mean, this is Nazi-level, World War II-level crimes.
No, this is very, very serious. There's a lot of people dying today because of that huge law that he broke. And I don't think he should get by with it. I don't think any of those guys in there. And he's not the only one. You know, he's just the puppet on the string. There's a lot of people telling him what to do, and, you know, they're using small words and big letters so he can get it said. But there's people behind him telling him what to do.
Would you like to see the New World Order puppeteers controlling the marionette be brought to justice as well, Willie?
I think they have to. You just can't bring in the puppet. You got to bring in the guys pulling the strings. And that's going to be harder to do because it looks like the closer we get to impeachment, all the guys out there pulling the strings are ready to throw George under the bus and let him ride all the heat. But I don't think that's enough. I think we have to go further than that and dig deeper and go back and find out who all is involved here and make them all come to step up to the bar and tell us why they did what they did.
You know, that's a great point. I'm going to skip this break for the folks watching on PrisonPlanet.tv and for the radio folks out there. And then we're going to go to break at the bottom of the hour and come back and take some phone calls. I really cannot overstate how much courage that Congressman Dennis Kucinich has, and we all need to be praying for him and supporting him and demanding not just that Congress support impeachment, but that the media pay attention to what's happening. Willie, I mean, that's another big area here. Our press wasn't perfect back in the 70s, back in 73, 74, but at least they did cover the investigation and the movement towards impeachment with Richard Nixon. I think that's the missing link here, is that the media, you're seeing almost no coverage of what Congressman Kucinich and all of his co-sponsors are doing.
Well, yeah, that's another problem that we have, is getting the message across, because the media people seem to be happy just telling the other side. They know that they'll get in trouble themselves. They'll lose their jobs if they start talking like you and I are doing. But if they signed up to be a news person, I think they should, you know, go on up and do what they're supposed to do. Some of them are doing it. It's not all the media is laying down, rolling over. And there's a lot of good people in radio that are speaking out, and a lot of people on the Internet. I think we have more ways to fight back today than we did 50 years ago. So I think with you doing what you're doing and all the other guys chipping in, every little bit helps. And if we keep pointing out what's going on, and if we keep putting cameras on them, if we keep telling people what they're doing, maybe we can stop them from doing something really bad between now and Election Day.
Well, that's my point, and the point that you and many others have made, is that there is this incredible danger. If they've got the will to orchestrate a 9/11 style attack, if they have the will to carry out all these chemical and biological and radiological tests on the people, or the will to ship in these dangerous narcotics for our school children and then run the phony war against it, they're capable of doing anything. And you're right, we can't just remove the puppets. We have to once and for all smoke the dark spiders, the corporate chieftains, out of their holes that have been engineering all this.
You're absolutely right, and I think Dennis is taking a giant step forward in giving that a chance to happen every time he steps up there and reads another article of impeachment.
We're going to come back, because right now we're behind the scenes for folks on the Internet. We're going to be back in about a minute and a half to the full audience, Willie, and I want to get back into what's happening with Iran and Iraq and get your take on that. But shifting gears into the economy, you know, you've involved with Farm Aid and so much more, aware of how this international banks, central banks operate. We've got the IMF and World Bank documents where they admit they are engineering the implosion in our economy so they can consolidate wealth and basically repossess America, come in and buy all of our companies, Anheuser-Busch, real estate, car companies. Willie Nelson, what's your take on that? What's happening right now with the economy?
Well, I can see where they've done it with the farmers. So we used to have 8 million small family farmers out there, and through various techniques, illegal and whatever, they have taken back over 6 million of those small family farms, and they've done it by doing exactly what you said. They dropped the prices on everything, putting farmers out of business all over the world, just so they can pick up the land and use it to their advantage. The big corporations want to do it all. They want to put all the small family farmers out of business. And I still think that this whole thing, our entire economy, that agriculture is the bottom rung on our economic ladder, and the farmer is our backbone of that economic ladder. So we have to bring the farmer back, the small family farmer. We have to start thinking locally, sustainable agriculture, take away our needs for importing, like T-Bone Pickens said, $700 billion worth of oil every year from foreign countries. We could be making it ourselves out of wind, solar, biodiesel, ethanol. We can do it all in 20, 30 years. We can take ourselves off of oil completely. In the meantime, we can drop our dependency just by changing over, doing this and doing that. And
okay, Willie, I hate to interrupt you when you're on a roll. We're coming back to the main audience. Before you leave, let's get back into that, okay? Here we go.
America. And when the war is over and we've won, let's remember how we done it so we don't have to do it again.
You know, I love rodeos, and I go to 4 or 5 a year, and it's great to go to a rodeo where Willie Nelson's playing, because instead of having a bunch of pro-war propaganda wrapping the flag, you get a real patriot, a real Texan who really loves liberty, and to see tens of thousands of people at the Austin Rodeo Star of Texas Rodeo, singing along to that instead of going to, say, the Teague Rodeo with my family, where my family's from out in East Texas. And I mean, we're talking 20 minutes of government worshiping, war worshiping stuff. But it was totally hollow and nobody was even buying into it there. And we're back live with Willie Nelson. Take your calls in the next segment. And also, later before he leaves us, get some into his solutions with agriculture and trying to save the family farm, because his farm aid this year is coming up as well, and give out some of his websites for you. Again, Willie, it's just wonderful and precious to be having this time with you. Jesse Ventura, since you last came on the show and went public for 9/11 Truth, Jesse Ventura came on the show and then told me behind the scenes, he goes, look, I want to come out for 9/11 Truth. You gave me films years ago when I was in Texas visiting with Willie Nelson and Kinky Friedman. When I saw him at an event, he said, but now I've looked into it. It's an inside job. He went public, and even Fox News had trouble attacking him. Now we've had the former Italian president, who was also the head of intelligence, go public. German defense ministers, leaders in the Japanese Diet, their parliament. We've had Actress of the Year go public. I mean, it is just a mass of prominent people, CIA section chiefs going public. What is it like to see this type of courage, Willie?
Well, it's great, and, you know, we do know that there are some strong people in this country and around the world who will stand up for what's right, and it's always gratifying to see a guy jump up and say what he thinks and stand up for what he believes is right, and I can see more and more people doing that these days, and it is very gratifying.
I don't think that the ring knockers, the establishment individuals, thought that we would have this much courage, or that this many prominent people like Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura and so many others, Martin Sheen, right before he died, George Carlin. I'm gonna send you my new film. Have you seen George Carlin talk about 9/11 being an inside job?
No, I haven't, but I would love to see that.
It's just incredible, Willie. I mean, I know I'm kind of in awe here. It's just we have to realize how positive it is that there are a lot of good Americans and others standing up.
Well, yeah, and it's when you look at it for what it is, it's no big deal. It's somebody did something wrong, and somebody needs to be outed for it. And once you look at all the facts and see the pictures and hear all the stories, it doesn't take a German scientist to realize that, hey, we got hit, by some inside people there. We need to find out who it is, and we need to find out quickly so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. It's so horrible. But just, I mean, it's so obvious. It's so simple. And you're saying the emperor has no clothes, and more people are saying it. Willie, what has the response been like since you came on my radio show twice and then on, of course, Free Speech TV and Democracy Now, and, you know, question the official fable? What has the response been like from your fans, from your supporters, and your detractors?
99% in favor of what we've been saying, and 100% of ours believing that we have the right to say it. There's nobody that said, "Hey, shut up." There's been a couple that didn't quite believe it and couldn't believe that we could do something like that. But I think the more we find out about what we are capable of doing and what we have done in the last couple of hundred years, it's no stretch of the imagination to see that, hey, you know, we did this, we did that. Of course we can do the trade towers. It's no big deal.
Well, you're right. In fact, if you look at the British manuals on how to spread smallpox to the natives by giving them, that's not a rumor, folks. We have the manuals that then was taught to the colonists who did it. Or then when you look at the Tuskegee experiment or all the things that are still going on, or all these neocon warmongers who say use DU in Serbia and Iraq and Afghanistan, and now our troops are coming home with triple the birth defects in their children. I mean, so many of these individuals think they can do all of this in a vacuum, and you can't do this in a vacuum, can you, Willie?
Well, no, you can't. Eventually the truth will come out, but in the meantime, a lot of people are dying and suffering, and that's why I think it's so urgent that Dennis Kucinich keeps doing what he's doing. Keep hitting them on that sore spot. It's like a drop of water on the dam. If he keeps dropping water on that sucker, eventually it'll crash through and we'll find out the truth of what really happened. But I think Dennis has got to keep pounding on impeachment. I think that's the key to stopping anything really horrible coming up between now and, as you say, September, October.
Absolutely. Just a moment ago, we went, Willie, this is kind of a split show now because I've also got hundreds of thousands viewing on the internet and tens of thousands watching on television. I just skip breaks with huge guests like yourself. So we've got one more break coming up, but we're skipping them. Is that okay with you?
Oh, sure, whatever.
Absolutely. Well, you're just awesome. We're going to be taking calls when we get back into the main segment at 1-800-259-9231. Again, Willie, getting back to the fact that the people are rising up, that has now cornered the rats that staged the attacks, and I'm trying to figure out their psychology and what they're going to do. And most of the experts I talk to, Ron Paul, Ray McGovern, you know, so many other people, Dennis Kucinich, people inside, Ron Paul said last week before the House, he said, look, the shoe's going to be dropped in the fall. They're intending to go ahead and start World War III and I guess try to bring us into martial law. And we're here, I guess, just with genuine communal horror wanting to stop it. Do you have any ideas how to stop it? I mean, you're here on air speaking out. You're prominent. I guess we need to ask everybody who's prominent and has large followings to speak up. I mean, what are some of the other ideas you have, Willie, to try to turn this around right now?
Well, the only thing we can do is just to keep our words and thoughts out there in the atmosphere and let people around the world know what we're thinking and let's be open-minded to what they're thinking and let's put our heads together and come up with ways to stop it. Because, you know, we are smart enough to do it. We do know we're standing here today telling everyone what we think is going to happen. Now, how do we stop it? I think we keep talking about it. I think we do the impeachment. I think we elect a guy who is thinking about peace rather than war. We have to become a Department of Peace and, we have to spread peace around the world instead of going around the world starting wars overall. We don't have to do that anymore.
Well, you're absolutely right, Willie. And it's not just starting wars about oil. It's also about, as you know, the hundreds of billions of dollars per year in no-bid contracts going into black holes. And it's the silencing political opposition at home. And that's what Dennis Kucinich lists in his articles of impeachment, how the president... they have policy reports saying, how do we shut down demonstrations? How do we shut down free speech? How do we train local police to shut down free speech? So I want to come back to the full audience in about 10 seconds and pose that question to you. And then to the audience, what their ideas of stopping all of this. Here we go with Willie Nelson. Back to the full radio audience.
Farmer, I make a living off the land. I ride a John Deere tractor. I'm a liberated man. The rain, it hasn't fallen since the middle of July. And if it don't come soon, my crops will die. The bankman says he likes me, but there's nothing he can do. He tells me that he's coming, but the clouds are coming too. He ain't my friend. And I'll ride again.
1-800-259-9231.
I'm an American.
Is the toll-free number to talk to Willie Nelson. Now, I want to talk about callers, not side issues. We have limited time with him, only about 25 minutes left. I want to talk and get your questions or comments for Willie Nelson on the Iran attack that is coming up. I've got family in the military. I've got sources in Congress, in government, in intelligence. It's on. It's on in September or October. I've had so many congressmen on, former CIA section chiefs saying that Bush will stage a terror attack. I mean, Ray McGovern's chief White House briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., he's not even mincing words anymore. I mean, it is on. They are going to stage terror attacks. That is the green light. They've got their people out there saying they're going to attack Iran, telling the public it's got to happen. It's on. You thought they were bold and attacked Iraq when we all knew it was a lie beforehand. Well, watch. They're going to do it again. But the Iranians are not a pushover. They're 65 million instead of 23 million. They've got more high-tech weapons, and they're going to block the Strait of Hormuz. And Bush has moved the aircraft carriers in close so they can be hit. That's why Admiral Fallon resigned. I mean, this is serious. This is the end of America. The real target of this is the U.S. They want a war to bring us into a depression, to fully consolidate what's left of the free market and bring us into total tyranny. Now I've had top analysts on, scores of them the last 2 weeks, all agreeing that is the attack profile of the New World Order and the puppeteers controlling George Bush and his cronies, and they own the Democrats as well. And this may have been an attempt on Ron Paul's life with him and seven congressmen and sudden total depressurization. They barely got the plane down when it took off from Houston last night. And we know they've killed a lot of congressmen and senators. We got to be praying for Dennis Kucinich. Before we go back to your calls, and again, folks, I want to hear your ideas for solutions, how we can stop this war. What type of stunts can we pull that are peaceful? Banner hangs, whatever. Calling into Congress. Here's the number to the White House, to the House switchboard. And then now this is the non-toll-free. Why am I giving you that? The toll-free is limited numbers and is jammed most of the time. The non-toll-free you can get through on 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Call your congressman or woman. Call the House Judiciary Committee. Tell them, vote for impeachment. Vote to send it to the full House when Dennis Kucinich literally goes into Mordor, literally into the gates of hell, to move for impeachment. The last person that even talked about this up in Minnesota, the senator's plane blew up. 202-224-3121. And by talking about how these murderers kill people, that may preempt them from going after Kucinich. And I've talked to him on air. He said a few weeks ago he knows he's in danger. He knows these people are serious, but he says this is a spiritual thing. He says he's crossing that line and that he's doing the right thing and putting his trust in the Creator. I've never heard Kucinich talk like that, so, he's at a high level there. When you start fighting evil at these high levels, because I've done it myself, not at that level, but it's a line you cross. I hate to get mystic here, but Willie, do you know what I'm talking about here?
Well, yeah, there is that line that I think, you and I, we not only crossed it, we kind of, we leaped over it a while back, but it's always dangerous, I'm concerned about Dennis or anybody else who speaks out against this administration, because these guys are serious. People love their power and they hate to give it up. Their money and their power is all they have, and if they lose that, they feel like they've lost their divinity. So they're gonna hang on to their power.
Absolutely, and we just need to realize and really pray for, and just in our core, in our spirit, know that Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul and others are really facing the dragon down at point-blank range and need our support, and so does Willie and everybody else that's out there speaking out. Willie, before we go to some calls, and again, the number is 1-800-259-9231, I want to hear your ideas for solutions or ways to stop this war. Willie, any other ideas you've got to try to stop this attack on Iran?
Well, first of all, I think impeachment is good. We have to do that to get people to realize, hey, these guys are bad, and we have to stop them before they do. And they're thinking that we won't do it. They're thinking that they have plenty of time between now and Election Day to do what they already have planned to do. Whether we can stop them or not, I don't know. God help us if we can't, because once we bomb Iran, then all hell breaks loose. America is not the same America as we knew it the second afterwards. And not only that, we will bring down hardships not only ourselves, but people all over the world, not to mention just the price of a gallon of gas. Right now it's $4 or $5. It's $10 over there in England. It will be much higher.
Well, you're absolutely right. And for those that don't understand the globalist mindset, it's problem, reaction, solution, or order out of chaos, as Bush has said in speeches. And they believe by getting us into a crisis so bad that and where our military is being defeated, and that's probably going to happen in the first stages, just like they invited the Japanese attack and ordered the ships and planes to stand down, and that's now been declassified. They plan to get us into a war that's so bad that a lot of Americans are going to say, well, I didn't support the war, but damn it, we're in a crisis, and I got to get behind George Bush, and then he may end up being like FDR and just staying in office. And I think that is a real threat that we face. I mean, it's not just Alex Jones or Willie Nelson. Mainline analysts are talking about $8, $10 gallon gas, martial law in America, and they've now put that on the books.
Well, yeah, you know, now one of the things that's being stolen most out there these days is gasoline. Farmers have to watch their tractors. People are stealing gasoline because it is so damn expensive. And it's down to push and shove. They need a gallon of gas to get from here to there. And at some point, people will do anything. And when it comes down to food, that's the next thing on the list. They'll do anything to feed their family. So we are in for some tough times.
And then we have to try to somehow educate the public that they have orchestrated this. I mean, I have the banking documents. You have them. You've been fighting this since before I was born. Where the banks, well, you grew up, you know, with your family being farmers on a farm in Texas, pretty close to where my family's from on my dad's side. And everybody knew back then they were predatory. How did they train Americans not to question the establishment and not to question banks? I mean, when did Americans start losing their sense, Willie?
Well, when they started controlling the media and when they started telling us from early morning till late dark how well things were going and how things were fine and we shouldn't worry about a thing, that, you know, Big Brother's taking care of us. And now we see what Big Brother was doing. While we were had our backs turned, he was taking over, stealing everything that we had.
And now they know that we're waking up to them with Congress with a 9% approval rating for the first time in U.S. history. And so they're trying to put a police state into place so that we can't have a counter-revolution against their revolution. We're not the revolutionaries here. We just want our country back. Willie, do you have any message to the people in government, to the police and others, about some of the things we're going to be facing in the near future? I mean, I've had state police calling in saying, I thought you were nuts, but now the feds have come in and told us, yeah, get ready for martial law, and you got to do what the president says. Do you have any message to them, Willie?
Well, except that we have to just, you know, there's no magic words that I can say that will stop it, but I do think all of us together can figure out a way to combat it and keep it from being as bad as it could be. I think if we are aware what's going to happen, that will keep it from having such a great impact that it would if we were just sitting around blind, not knowing that anything was going to hit us. At least now we can try to block it one way or another.
I agree with you. That is the key. If you expose false flag, self-inflicted wounds, government-sponsored black ops, then it takes the power away to where they can't stage it anymore. And if you discredit the current system, then it loses the people's acquiescence. They have to have you to go along with it. Doesn't mean you have to go out and physically fight them with a rifle. It means you just have to not go along, and basically, in a lot of cases, to the police and military, just sit on your butts. Don't go out and kill innocent Iraqis. Come home. If they set off a nuke in Chicago and then try to bring in a national draft, as McCain has said, this is going to go on with McCain, you know, or probably Obama. You have to then realize that that is a staged event and not go along with it, Willie.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I remember hearing a long time ago, say, what would happen if they started a war and nobody showed up?
Absolutely. All right, I want to take some phone calls. And the House switchboard, again, is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Ask for the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee or ask for other members of the committee. Later in the show today, I'll give you all their names and I'll even give you their direct lines, but those can be busy. The switchboard has hundreds of lines and generally isn't. 202-224-3121. Call them and say, look, it's on record. They admit that Bush committed all these crimes. They wrote memos saying they could order the troops to torture children. There's no debate. Vote for impeachment. And they can't blow up every congressman's airplane. The answer here is all of us to say, look, we know what you're up to, shadow government, and just come out with your hands up. Attention, criminals. The game is over. Willie, your take on that statement?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We got to let them know that, hey, you're caught. We found your your hand in the cookie jar here, and there are certain consequences involved there. First of all, you get voted out, and then we'll decide what else to do to you. But you are wrong. You made a mistake. You broke the law. You have hurt our country. So there are consequences for that.
And for Americans out there on the fence about all this, you got a bad feeling in your heart. Intellectually, you know we're in deep trouble. You know we've been telling you the truth on this show and many others. Things are getting more and more serious by the minute. It isn't going to get better going down the same path. We've got to change course now. And a lot of people want to try to over-intellectualize it and say, well, then what's the specific action? It's just getting your heart right, getting your mind right, and saying no.
Yeah, from this moment on, you just have to say, okay, maybe I went along with their stories up until now, but I'm not going along with them anymore. You've lied to me once. That's too many times.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take calls. Ken in Texas, you're on the air with the one, the only, the living legend, Willie Nelson. Go ahead.
God bless you, Alex and Willie. I have two quick points. The first one, I want to tell you how grateful I am, Alex, for you advertising Shayla Zine. I feel like I'm 34 years old now, like you. And the most important point I want to make is any congressman that doesn't support or vote for impeachment for the ones that we're speaking of should be fired and put out of office. I mean, because they're very well aware of the same thing that we're aware of. It's come to the point that this is extremely serious.
Well, just looking at this politically, it would gain the Democrats incredible political hay and ensure their victory across the board if they would do it, but they won't. That's because they're scared, they're blackmailed, or they're on the take. Willie?
Well, you're absolutely right. There's one of those reasons, because they all know that they could stop it if they wanted to. Obviously, there's reasons why they don't want to, and I'm sure you hit on one of them.
Anything?
There's really no excuse.
Absolutely, Ken. I appreciate your call. Adam in Texas, you're on the air with Willie Nelson.
Hi. God bless you both. And Willie, I've been a part of your life for since 1973, and from 3 days in Atoka to Austin to Panther Hall to the Sportatorium. Thanks for all the nights you've given us, and we really love you. And I was born and raised here in Texas, and I'm going to be moving out of here next month, and I'm going to go north and go up into the mountains and see what happens. And my heart's pretty sad right now, and but that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Hey, I'm glad you remembered Atoka, because you remember how dusty that was.
It was fantastic, though. They had that path mowed down through the forest all the way down to the festival, and the music was fantastic. The sound was incredible. That was a great 3 days, Willie.
Well, thank you. I was wondering if I was going to have trouble finding the location and the set, and I was driving down the interstate, and I looked over to the left, and a few miles over there, I saw this huge dust cloud. I said, I think we found Atoka.
All right, Adam, good to hear from you. Scott in Arizona, you're on the air with Willie Nelson.
Hey, Willie, and hey, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. I wanted to say this. You've done a lot of great concerts in your time as far as, like, Live Aid to support the farmers. I was thinking that would be great to do something like a 911 Truth concert. Donate the money to the families that lost their loved ones and the firefighters that were out there, and also to support Dennis Kucinich, what he's doing. And it would be great to do that, and we get a lot of publicity. I was wondering.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree to both of those things in a minute.
Okay, Willie.
Those are wonderful. It's a wonderful plan.
Willie, I'm totally freaking out right now. You know, you gave me your cell phone number and other contacts, and I haven't called you in 5 months because you're one of the few people I'm actually starstruck by. And I was kind of nervous stumbling around calling you this morning to come on the show. I have been dreaming of inviting you to New York this year for the anniversary, getting some hall, just having you speak or, you know, play your acoustic guitar. And we know the first responders, the heads of the victims' family groups, or to even have a benefit here in Austin for the firefighters and police. But I know you're so busy, and you've already done so much for 9/11 Truth. But since the caller brings it up, maybe I should talk to you off air later today about doing something like that. Because I think we're talking about solutions. or a free concert somewhere as a media event to say a no attack on Iran, yes to impeachment deal. That might be good. It'd probably be like Woodstock, Willie.
Oh, I think you're right, and I think people want to find a way to speak out and let their voices be heard, and that's what you and I need to do, is to give them a way to do that. We'll find a hall or a field or something somewhere, and we'll go over there, and we'll give people a chance to stand up and talk about what they believe in.
Well, I just want to thank Scott calling from Arizona, who I don't know from Adam, because I can't ever ask for things from the celebrities I know, just because I don't want to feel like I'm bugging them. But Willie gives so much. This is just incredible. For all the stations.
Well, thank you. And I want to say to Scott, before you take off to the mountains up there, hang around a little while and watch all this stuff come down. And, you know, if something happens really bad, I'll go to the mountains with you. But in the meantime, let's stay here and fight those guys.
All right, we're going to skip this break, too. Here we go. Behind the scenes with Willie Nelson. Willie, speak of the devil, you know, you've got your great places out with the Pert and Allison stuff. My wife's even instinctively saying, we got to get a place out by Fredericksburg or Johnson City. We got to, women always have that instinct, and she's never been like this. And this morning, she's saying, we got to go try to buy some land or a house. I want to get the hell out of this city. And all the women I know are talking like that. That always tells me something when the women think something really bad's coming. That kind of worries me.
Well, you know, they have that intuition that you and I both know is usually right.
You know, I think it's going to be a depression, Willie. What do you think?
Oh, I think we're already in a depression. It just depends on where you are. If you just lost your home and your job and you're out on the streets, you're in a depression. If it hadn't happened to you yet, God bless you, because hang on, there's some bad things going on out there, and hopefully it won't hit you. But we are in a depression. There's a lot of people suffering right now in this country, and have been for a long time. And the fact that we're just now talking about a possible depression should let everybody know that, hey, we must be in one if we're talking about it.
Unbelievable. We're on air for the viewers on the internet right now, Willie, so we're not really behind the scenes, but when is a good time for me to call you to talk about this idea of doing some type of anti-war / 9/11 truth? I mean, we've only got a few months, so obviously we want to set it up as quickly as possible. I mean, if you really want to do that, you know, whether we do it somewhere in upstate New York, because it's near New York, or whether we do it somewhere outside Austin. I mean, if you're really serious about wanting to, and I know you always step up to the plate, if you really want to do that, we need to get on it.
Well, yeah, and it's, there's two or three things, two or three options there, and we need to figure out just exactly which one we want to do, where we want to do it, because you say, as you say, we're running out of time, and we don't have too much time to figure out what we're going to do. But I'm ready to go to New York or Austin. Anytime.
It might even be good to, Denver's totally booked up, but people do anything for Willie Nelson. I'm going to cover Denver and the microwave guns and the police state and the free speech zones. I'm also probably going to go to the RNC, but I've already booked for Denver. Maybe if we had some type of event in a field or somewhere, or at a, you know, someplace outside Denver or in Denver, if we could, that might put, I know you, I'd heard you might be even playing in Denver in association with the DNC, and I know you might not want to.
Yeah, they have they've hired me and the band to come play, so you know, we'll be there full force.
Well, I don't want to stir something up with that, but if that's a choice you want to do, you make the call, Willie, and then I can, I mean, you've got the organization, but if you want me to try to organize it, I can, whatever happens. I want to hold you till 5 after in the next hour, so we have enough time to finish up on the farm stuff. Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine. And as far as what we're going to do, let's concentrate on New York or Austin. I don't think Denver would be an appropriate place for me to go do something like that.
I agree with you. I was just throwing an idea out. Here we go, Willie. We got 10 more minutes.
Okay.
A sender before we ever pass this way again.
Man, this is feeling good. Willie Nelson, Alex Jones brainstorming about a 9/11 truth stock, minus the yellow acid. This is amazing.
Ride like a one-eyed jack of diamonds with the devil close behind. We're gonna ride.
Just incredible. Willie, we've only got about 5 minutes left in this segment and 4 minutes in the next, and I'm going to let you go because you're very busy and have your own XM radio show coming up today. Before we take a few final calls and talk about the depression that we see unfolding and really hurting the farmers and ranchers more than ever, fire out some of the websites, your peace organization, some of the groups that people can get involved with you in to really try to be the change we want to see in the world.
Sure, yeah. You know, farmaid.org is, you know, it's the big address for people. We're doing Farm Aid on September the 20th up in Boston, and if we can call attention to that and you know, bring as many people as we can to rally around us up there, that would be great.
Well, my heart's beating, and a few things excite me anymore, Willie, because I've seen quite a bit, not as much as you, but I've actually got butterflies. Let me just put you on the spot. Did you get butterflies and excited when we just spontaneously, because of a caller, decided to do some type of truth rally?
Well, you know, I'm always looking for excitement, and if it's doing something that I love to do and believe in, well, it doesn't get any better than that, you know. And I love to play music, and I love audiences and crowds, but there's also something that's gratifying about saying what you believe, you know.
And doing the right thing. Again, Willie, I know you hate people telling you how great you are, but let me tell you, I just love you to death and love your courage and your passion and your spirit. You know, the time I got to meet you in person, it was really intense to be around you in person. You're just an amazing individual, and I just wish to God we had more people like Willie Nelson. Give out the Peace Institute website as well.
Our peace, it's WillieNelsonPRI.com, Peace Research Institute, and farmaid.org. Just stay in touch, and let's put our heads together and see what we can do to get peace in the world. And also, in doing that, we'll not only help the family farmer, we'll help everybody else.
Let me just recap for everybody. Dennis Kucinich going into the belly of the beast this Friday in the Judiciary Committee in the House, presenting the crimes of the Bush administration. This is just unparalleled in history, and there's almost no media coverage. Demand there be coverage of this, and we salute Willie Nelson for stepping up to the plate today to come on the air and try to bring attention to this, and no doubt it will. Let's talk to Tom in Oregon. Tom, you're on the air with Willie Nelson. Quickly.
Willie, been a long-time fan, and I'm just kind of getting into the prison planet and everything that goes with it. Don't you guys think that the whole mess that this country and the world is in right now all has to be revolve around energy? And I think we need to make huge leaps for energy. I don't think these baby steps that we're taking. I really have a feeling that Otis T. Carr and Ralph Ring and George, I don't know if you've heard of Gordon Novell, but I think they're on to something that all the governments of the world don't want us citizens to know about.
And that's zero-point energy. Stay there, Tom. We're going to come back. Final segment with Willie Nelson after a 70-second break. Only 5 minutes left, because earlier he wanted to get into energy reform, and so we'll come back. Willie is a big into that. Final segment with Willie Nelson, InfoWars.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. Let me just talk to Willie real fast, John. Hey, Willie.
Yeah.
I appreciate you letting me get you into all this trouble.
That's no problem there.
Well, I know you've always been standing up to the man. When is a good time for me? And again, I'm not going to even try to push you to how to set it up or what to do. I just want to somehow, you know, be involved and help you in any way. When should I call you, tomorrow or something? Or when's a good time for me to call you when you're on the bus, on the road, to try to get some idea of what we should do in New York or Austin?
Why don't you do a little research yourself on Austin and New York, and I will too, and we'll check my itinerary, and call me tomorrow, and we'll figure out something we can do.
Yes, sir. What's a good time? Just like 10 or 11 in the morning again, or?
Oh, yeah, that's about the same time we talked today. That'd be great.
That's a good time for you. I know you're up late doing these shows, so 10 in the morning
no,
is good.
10 or 11 o'clock's fine.
Because you get up and jog every morning, don't you?
Well, I tell everybody I do.
Okay, hey, listen, I'm not going to twist.
I get up some mornings and jog.
Okay, well, I'll call you tomorrow morning, sir, and say hi to your wife and family. We're going to go into the final segment right now. Here we go, sir.
Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Folks, I am as happy as I have been in my life, except for the birth of my three children, because I know that I have a blind spot. I can't make myself bug big celebrities or ask for things from them. And Willie's such a nice guy that if he thinks in his heart it's a good thing to do, he'll generally do it. And that's what I've been told by folks that have known him for decades. And now he just says, yeah, let's do a 9/11 slash impeachment anti-Iran deal. So we're going to be setting that up in the next month or some next couple months, whenever Willie wants to do it. In closing, I know we got loaded phones, but we're out of time. We'll have Willie back undoubtedly. In the last 3 or 4 minutes we've got, sir, earlier you were trying to get into when we went to break, energy dependence and systems to get off of it. They're demonizing ethanol, but that's from corn. You're talking about the cooking oil and trash and the pig farms and the chicken farms. You're talking about systems that use the waste we're just dumping in rivers right now to create cleaner burning fuels. In closing, Willie Nelson, that's a way to create a new economy, as you have said, as a visionary, and you've got all the evidence to re-energize the family farm and try to save what we've got left and get us off of the oil.
Absolutely, and we can do it. We have the ability to do it. We have the resources, and I think the secret is to keep it local and sustainable. If you have something in around you that farmers grow that you can use, use it. Anytime you import something, it costs more and it pollutes the environment. Anytime you can buy it locally, you're getting healthier food because you know where it's coming from. So I think the important thing for us to do is to make sure that we support our local agriculture, our local economy, and not become dependent on bringing in everything from around the world. Because you look at your table where you ate breakfast this morning, and everything on your plate probably came from 1,200 to 1,500 miles away. And that's a huge waste. It could have been done outside your back door by farmers that you know.
Now, just 70 years ago, I would guess, growing up in North Central Texas, that everything on your plate every morning was from right there in the little town you grew up in.
In Abbott, Texas, we had our own chickens, and so we had eggs, and we grew our own beef, and we had hogs out there that we grew, and we had a garden. So we pretty much were self-sufficient. And I think probably out of necessity, because of the high prices of everything, we're going to have to get back to that kind of living again. And honestly, I think it will be good for us to go back to the basics and be able to take care of ourselves without having to depend on somebody on the other side of the world.
Absolutely. You can find all of his websites through willienelson.com. You can also find out about all the prolific new records, new albums you've been putting out. Willie, I've been reading all the reviews, too, quite a few of the reviews. The reviewers are saying that you seem to, like a fine wine, be getting even better now that you had your 75th birthday. Are you hitting kind of your third or fourth wind here?
I'm breaking wind right now, I think.
That's a good joke. You know what I mean? Like, you're a jogger. I mean, you know, you're like seem to be energized.
I do have a lot of energy, and I ride a bike, and I do what I can to try to get rid of the energy. And then I do a two-hour show on the stage every night. So at the end of the day, I try to get well spent. That's the secret, I think, to being healthy spiritually, mentally, is to do a lot of exercise and keep your body going.
And you talk a lot about that in your book with Turk Pipkin, The Tao of Willie. A New York Times bestseller. Be sure and get that as well. Willie, I am completely blown away by this interview, and I sense destiny here, something big, and I pray that this does happen, and we just appreciate all your time. I'll say bye to you off air here in just a moment, and I will talk to you in the morning, sir. You're going to be playing tonight in Council Bluff, Iowa. Is that sold out like most of your shows, or can folks go to that?
Well, I think it's a casino, so it's probably pretty well sold out, but if you're around here close, you might come over. But it's a small venue, so it's probably pretty well sold out.
All right, folks, that is basically it with Willie Nelson. You can just Google Willie Nelson or go to willienelson.com and find out other tour dates. He is a man who needs to be supported, as well as Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Again, Willie, just I love you to death, and I want to thank you and your family for all your time, and I will call you about 10 a.m. in the morning, sir.
Hey, thank you for what you're doing, Alex. Keep up the good work, and yeah, call me tomorrow, and we'll figure out what we want to do next.
Absolutely, Willie. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Wow, man, I am just blown away right now. You see, I didn't even ask Charlie Sheen to do that 9/11 conference in L.A. that ended up on C-SPAN. That was his idea, but then he didn't want credit for it, but then I just have to give him credit. See, I couldn't even ask him to do that, and then I couldn't even ask Ventura for stuff, and I can't seem to ask Willie for stuff, so... the caller from Arizona, I think it's going to be big. I mean, folks, can you imagine Willie Nelson, a 9/11 truth slash anti-war concert? I think you're going to have tens of thousands there. This is going to be huge. My God. And folks, there's no doubt they probably tried to kill Ron Paul yesterday. One of their favorite ways is to depressurize planes, and they say it was bad. And my God, he's supposedly on tomorrow. Who knows if he'll be here now after this emergency landing they did. They're getting ready to hit Iran. We got truth concerts coming up. I mean, we are living... I am all freaked out and crazed, but at the same time, I'm exhilarated. What about you guys out there? I mean, is this not incredible? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, duty is ours. Consequence belongs to the Creator. And we do the right thing. It just happens. So Willie's publicly saying he's going to do it. And then I was off air talking to him, and he was telling me basically engineer it. What a responsibility. I don't even know if I can go to Denver now. Because I guess I'm going to go, but we need to launch this fast. We need to be big, too. My God, people, email me at aaron@infowars.com. All my old addresses are too spammed out, so I read them, but I got to create a new email. In fact, I keep forgetting. Let me create some new ones, Dave, so I can give them out to listeners. Got to create new ones because they get worthless after a while. Aaron@Infowars.com. He's getting like 1,000 a day now. It's almost worthless. But Aaron@Infowars.com. Send me your ideas of venues around in and around New York. And I'm going to tell 9/11 truth, too. Let me do this. Don't run Willie off by a million of you going crazy and trying to climb over his fence for your 9/11 truth group. If you don't act like a bunch of animals, some of you out there, some of the leadership, you'll be invited, okay? Just do not try to... Well, they have a horrible term for it. It's called cock blocking. Don't do it, okay? All right, we're going back live right now. Here we go.
USA.org today.
The Genesis Communications.
Hey, Jones?
Yeah.
I do have your next guest.
All right, here we go. William Pepper. Whoa! Yep. Yeah, baby! Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah! I am feeling good right now. Willie Nelson on in the last hour for an hour. Unbelievable. We're going to have a truth stock or whatever you want to call it for 9/11 truth and against the Iran war. That's the answer. Getting major attention against the war, against attacking Iran. Boy, black ops are going to try to stop that. We have an amazing individual on air with us today. He is William Pepper, and I appreciate him rescheduling from last week because I wanted to do close to a full hour with him. I mean, if I tried to go over his bio, this guy has seen it all. Another incredible guest, and he is just a stalwart, spending millions of his own money as a prominent lawyer to literally be a gumshoe for years, tracking the murder of first MLK, then RFK, JFK, and he's got lawsuits in there right now to expose the MLK murder. He's in there exposing the Bobby killing, and he's just got the floor for the next hour. Whatever this man wants to impart to us knowledge-wise, I'm just so honored to be able to talk to people like Mr. Pepper. I am so honored to be able to talk to people like Willie Nelson. We got Mark Kornke coming up, and St. John Hunt, the son of the CIA black op commander who ran the operation to kill Kennedy. That's all admitted now. He's coming on. Going to William Pepper. Mr. Pepper, it is good to have you on, sir.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Please, in a nutshell, you don't like to talk about yourself, but so people know who they're listening to, your depth and breadth of experience and knowledge. in a nutshell, tell us about your life and then get into these three murders. We just had Bobby's murder anniversary last week, assassination last week. Just whatever area you want to get into.
Well, that's a pretty deep well, Alex. I guess I began, I grew like probably like you did, many others, as a son of America, hardworking middle-class parents who had been immigrants from Ireland and infused with the blessings of this republic and the dream, came here, struggled, went to public schools. What happened to be a ball player, was baseball player, and that enabled me to take examination to private school and went into a private school late in my secondary education. Then went on to Columbia on a scholarship, took 2 degrees there, and played sports there. Went to Cuba in '59 as with one other member of the Columbia baseball team to play in a sports festival, and these things started to open up one's eyes because the picture. And I spent a fair amount of time with Castro and with Guevara as a young ball player and spoke the language, so had an opportunity to learn a bit about what was really going on, what was behind that revolution, and why America had supported dictatorships for almost 60 years before the Castro revolution. So what started as a 12-year-old who could only find black kids to play baseball with in the heat of the summer, requiring me to go into the ghetto and see for the first time how those people lived, and had raised questions in my mind about how what was going on socioeconomically in the society, then carried on to through the Cuban experience, and then eventually I went to London and met a number of potential developing world leaders who had different perspectives also on America. I was at LSE, and that was where, of course, the Rockefellers sent David early on in order to understand a bit about the world, and Joe Kennedy sent John. It was regarded as the place to go in terms of becoming aware of the world. But that led me into reform politics, thinking that perhaps one could manipulate a system and make it a little bit better. So I came back to the States, led a reform movement in Westchester County, New York, and became fairly controversial with that. Then Bob Kennedy asked me to run his campaign in Westchester, which was a heavily Republican county. And when he ran for the Senate in 1964, so I became his citizens chairman. And at that point in time, eventually this led through one human rights position as head of the director of the Commission of Human Rights for New Rochelle. The city was about to burn down. It was called the Little Rock of the North. And the only way we could stop it from burning was to put bodies in the streets and around country clubs of people who were discriminating against blacks and in terms of housing and education, and certainly the skilled trade unions. Electrical Workers Union still held their meetings in Italian in that city at that time. So we had to crack all of that. And the only way you could crack it was not by using the fair housing laws or the equal employment law. You had to actually put bodies in the streets and stop an urban renewal project from going forward. And that was the only language that they understood. Roads to power being through money and numbers, so we managed to mobilize numbers. That led, I'm giving you this very brief summary because you asked for it.
But it's important. It's important.
Yeah, a little self-conscious about doing it. That led to Vietnam. I was just very troubled about the war as a young guy, and I got a journalist credentials and got accredited by MACV, the accrediting agency over there at the time, and spent a lot of time out in the country and just saw a lot of things that turned my stomach and made me disgusted and very, very uneasy. And I guess I blew my I didn't write anything when I was there. I just took a lot of photographs, never developed any film, kept it all. We were hit once going into play coup on a C-130 on the way in, and had a rough landing, and I hurt my back and had to go back into Saigon. And it was the first time I'd come out of the country, and I was I just angry. Some friends took me to a party, and a Vietnamese shill attached herself to me that evening and drew from me what I really was feeling and seeing out there. And the next morning I was summoned into the accrediting officer's office. Commander Madison told me that he thought that they were worried about me, and I could lose my life out there. I wasn't attending their briefings, and Saigon, I should probably go on home. I'd probably, it sounds like I'd hurt my back anyway. And I told him I gathered they were uncomfortable with my presence, but I wanted to go into a place called Tay Ninh before I left. And he said, "What do you want to go to Tay Ninh for?" He said, the Kong control that area. I said, "I want to go there because there's a leprosarium, and I want to see how those lepers are treated, because I think you learn a lot about a people by the way they treat the most degraded and despised and shunned in their social units. And I want to see how they treat those lepers." And he thought I was, looked at me like I was a nutter. And I said, "I need a chopper to go in there. Would you give me a chopper?" He said, "No, we won't give you a chopper. We can't afford to give you a chopper. But we'll give you a Jeep with a driver." And I said, "I'll get back to you on that." And I talked to some friends. They said, "Look, you really better get out of here. I mean, Jeeps with drivers don't work." And the last guy they gave a Jeep with a driver was found by the side of the road. And you've got a pretty clear message. You better leave here, because they're going to find a way to get you one way or the other. So I left anyway, went back, and then wrote some things. But the article that was probably the most damning was called Children of Vietnam, and was published in Ramparts in January of 1967. My goodness, Alex, how long ago that is. Martin King was a subscriber. He saw it. He almost threw up at Atlanta Airport on his way to the Caribbean when he thumbed through it and he saw the photographs that I published. And when he got back, he asked to meet with me, and that, of course, started a relationship the last year of his life. I had been in the South in civil rights work at various times in the 60s and on the Selma March and events like that, but I'd never met him. I just was a young student from the North. But this then brought him directly into touch, and I opened my files to him at his request, and he just became nauseous. He visibly cried when he saw the horror of that war.
And that's showing the real humanity. People love to demonize Martin Luther King or go along with the FBI files that were complete misrepresentations. But I've talked to a lot of folks that actually knew him, and they say, I mean, you can tell those speeches, that passion. You can't lie. I mean, that type of passion comes across. That's why he was so powerful. It wasn't just the words or the tone. You could, I mean, Martin Luther King believed what he was saying, and was a very deep man, was he not?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. I committed the last year of his life to working with him. He asked me to head the National Conference for New Politics, which was an umbrella organization to go over all of the peace and poverty groups and potentially mobilize for a third-party ticket of himself and Ben Spock.
And that's why they killed him.
A large convention in Chicago, over 5,000 delegates from all over the country. But it was subverted, was infiltrated and subverted. And I introduced him. I was executive director of NCMP. I introduced him. And when he was speaking, I was passed a note that said, "You better get him out of here as soon as he finishes speaking, or we're going to take him hostage and embarrass him before the world." And that came from a black caucus. And one of the first black caucus, supposedly black groups that was formed, but what we didn't realize at the time that black caucus was largely being led by Blackstone Rangers and others who were on the pay of the federal government and who were there strictly for the purpose of of using their blackness of black radicalism to take control.
Yeah, they want to radicalize things to then discredit. You know, we're going to skip this break with William Pepper because I want to have plenty of time to talk to him. Here we go. Yes, William, I skipped that break. In the next 4 minutes, let's finish up kind of your awakening, then his murder, and then you're in a big lawsuit right now. We can get into that or talk about Bobby, whatever you want for the rest of the hour. Please continue.
Well, they killed Martin, of course, in on April 4, 68. He delivered his speech against the war on April 4, 67, called me very late that night, after delivered at Riverside, called me very late that night and said, now you're going to have to stay with me on this. Going to get tough because they're all going to reject me. And by that, he meant all of his so-called former friends in the civil rights movement because they were afraid they're going to lose their federal funding. And he was right. They all walked away from him. The New York Times called him a traitor. They accused him effectively of treason. But he was undaunted. He lost all that support. He almost was losing the support of his own congregation, who adored him. And he said to me at one point in February, he said, you've got to come down here and speak to my people. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you got to come down here on a Sunday and take the pulpit and you got to speak to my people and you got to tell them why I have to oppose this war. And I said, Martin, I thought he'd gone around the bend. You want a white kid from the north to come down and talk to your people. These are your people. And he waved his finger at me and he said, no, you've been there. You've seen it. You tell them, they'll believe you. You got to explain to them why I have to do what I'm doing. And he was adamant about it. So I went down. I took the pulpit at Ebenezer Baptist Church, and I want to call it preaching. But I spoke to those folks. I think at the end of it, they had a better picture of why their beloved pastor had to come out against this war.
And this is an example of the grip of brainwashing the American people were when even black folks whose preacher was Martin Luther King, who'd seen churches bombed and people shot and dogs put on children, still buying in to the lie. And then people say, you know, ask people to be leaders and stand up against evil. But then when it really gets tough, people get deserted. And
it's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Please continue.
It's kind of like the rejection of the prophet in his own time. And that was going on, but we continued and throughout 67. And, of course, the 100 cities burned between 67 and 68. So there was enormous paranoia, anti-war activity, and enormous economic deprivation in the inner cities, causing great disruption and turbulence. And so the military in particular was very, very ill at ease, and they started to develop a plan, you know, in 67 to eliminate King, because he was giving credibility to the anti-war movement like no one else had. He was bringing in white liberals from the North, and he was potentially threatening all of the bottom lines of the major corporations that were making fortunes on that war, as they do on all wars. And so he really became increasingly intolerable, and that led to his death. And when they killed him, Ben Spock and I went down to the memorial and then to the funeral in Atlanta, and Bobby asked me to come up and talk to him about the presidential campaign, because he had declared that he was going to run. And I just didn't. I said, I've had enough of politics in this country at this point. I'm sick of it. I'm gonna go away for a while and do something else. So I didn't go to see Bob Kennedy.
Yeah, that's what Jesse Ventura just did. He said the country's gone and gave up. But you came back. I hope he comes back. We're going to join some stations right now, Mr. Pepper. Here we go. Talking to William Pepper, he's seen it all, been a lawyer for the Kennedys during their campaigns, well, for Bobby, worked very close with Martin Luther King, and he's doing so much, there's no way to cover it all. He's involved in lawsuits exposing the MLK assassination. He for years, most of the evidence we have of MLK being killed in the open and shut case, he went and proved. Let's try to condense that down and talk about your lawsuit that's taking place right now.
Well, of course, in terms of the King case, when we became aware. In 1978, Abernathy asked me to go up to the prison to interrogate James. Actually, it was 77. I thought he lost it because we'd all been convinced that James was guilty. And he had no reason to doubt that at the time. I guess, again, it's our naivete, right? So I told Ralph, I don't know anything about the case. And it took me several months to read everything and understand what went on. And then we went up to Sea Ray and in the Brushy Mountain Penitentiary, and I interviewed him for 5 hours. I put him through a lot of stress. Had a body language expert, a psychiatrist from Harvard, who was a friend of mine, Howie Behrens, come up, and he sat there. His job was to stare at Ray throughout the session, because as I stressed him just to see how his body movements were reacting. Anyway, at the end of the 5 hours, we all, Abernathy, myself, Behrens, we came away with a view that Ray didn't do it. He was definitely not the shooter. He demonstrates this little knowledge, actually, of weapons, why he had bought one gun and exchanged it for another. It just didn't, a lot of things didn't make any sense at all.
It stunk.
It stunk, right. But we didn't know what role he might have played. So I then started to go into Memphis on my own in 78 and started to snoop around. And that snooping around, of course, has continued for about, well, it's now 30 years, although it's virtually done. And I lived in the streets, went into shelters and befriended homeless people and drank in the bars because those are the people who really knew what happened. And I started to get a picture of what really happened there. And Ray kept asking me to represent him, and I kept refusing. I said, I got to be confused. I got to be I got to have it confirmed in my own head that you had no role in the killing of Martin King. And it took 10 years, Alex, and finally in 88, I agreed to represent James O'Ray, and I was his lawyer for the last 10 years of his life. And we failed to get a trial for him, a new trial for him. We struggled. We had a television trial, which was very real and very dynamic.
I've seen that. It's incredible.
Yeah, and the jury took 7 hours to find him not guilty, had a fraction of the evidence that then emerged, where people started calling and providing information. I did a first book called Orders to Kill, which developed the all the evidence we had and the involvement.
Yeah, let's briefly skip ahead now and then go back, but I want to plug your new book now before we forget.
Yeah, well, the second book, and the paperback of it has just come out, is called Act of State, and that brought the evidence up to a trial that we held in 1999. I represented the King family, and we tried a case over 30 days with 70 witnesses. It was a civil action. The family sued one of the people that I uncovered as being a key player in the assassination at the local level, a fellow called Lloyd Jowers. We brought an enormous amount of evidence to bear and against Jowers. It took that jury 59 minutes to find that, of course, that Ray had nothing to do with the killing and that responsibility lay 70% with the government of the United States and the government of Tennessee and Memphis, and 30% with Jowers, who was a minor player in the whole thing. But, of course, that verdict was and that result and that evidence is buried to the present time. CNN is presently running a documentary. They call it an investigation that they did, which is a total distortion and disinformation, which didn't deal with the evidence in the trial at all, didn't reveal to the people that we subpoenaed all the prosecutors, tried to get them to appear, and they ran for cover and got the Court of Appeals to give them protection so they didn't have to testify and be embarrassed. But CNN ignores all of that kind of information. And there's an effort, as you know, Alex, in so many areas of public life in America where there's been public wrongdoing to cover up and to spread for all time on the history books the official story.
And I found Fox News, with its cartoonish ridiculousness, gives CNN then cover because they can act more credible, but in a lot of ways puts out even more dangerous propaganda because it's slicker.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. So anyway,
Well, hold on, sir. We're going to skip this break for stations out there. We're going to continue talking. But I do want to digress with William Pepper because there's so many things I want to bring up. So when we get back to the full stations in 3 minutes, we'll continue. But behind the scenes for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and InfoWars.com audio stream listeners, we're going to keep talking to William Pepper right now. Yeah, William, I'm sorry to break that up. Only some stations and people pick up these behind-the-scenes three-minute breaks. I just don't want to waste time with you. We'll come back and pick up with where you were at in 3 minutes. But right now, I want to digress because your knowledge is so wide-ranging. Obviously, Bush wants to go into Iran. A lot of people in Congress, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, they say it's green-lighted. I have obviously sources in CIA, as you do, who are saying, oh, it's green-lighted. They're intending to do it in September or October. Barring a miracle, A, do you think that we're leaning towards that? That it looks like the globalists are going to do it, the Bush cronies.
I think Seymour Hersh, of course, also has his own sources, and he's indicated that it looks like they're going to do it. I think they certainly want to do it. I think that the signs are right there. Even the sending of the Deputy Secretary of State Burns as a kind of a cover. To a futile meeting, just so they could be able to say at some point, well, look how far we went. We've tried everything. We even talked about opening a services section in the in Tehran.
Yeah, it's a perfect replay where they're now saying Iraq had nukes. Now you change the last letter. Now Iran has nukes. And it's the same fake detente, the same fake diplomacy when we now have all their declassified documents. All of that was false with Iraq. Even when they told Saddam you can leave the country, they had plans to shoot his airplane down.
I think that's absolutely right. I think there's no question that they want to do this. I think the question is only one of timing. They may well wait until after the November election to see if McCain wins. If McCain wins, then they may leave it to him because it's pretty evident that he's playing with the same deck and he's got the same mindset. If Obama should win, there's more of a question mark there. So I think I would not be surprised to see it launch before Obama took office, and he'd be saddled with the results of that attack on Iran.
Well, I agree with you. Mr. Pepper, you've had a long, incredible life, seen so many things. But do you ever feel like you're in a dream? I mean, I know you've seen a lot of things that are like that, but to me it's like this is so bizarre, so obvious. It's even more ham-fisted than Hitler's invasions in Europe. It seems like a bad dream. Do you ever feel bewildered?
Well, I feel tremendously distressed by the fact that the most powerful forces in the country really are the mainstream media, corporate media, because they just continually hide and dumb down the American public and distort and influence influence their mindset to the extent that they do. They are enormously facilitating the demise of this republic and the end of democracy in the republic. There is just no serious mainstream criticism at all that one can look at.
So, in your view, we are definitely entering a long dark night. Let me get your take on that right now. Here we go. We're going to get back into the murder of MLK and big new developments there, RFK, JFK, briefly in the 25 minutes we have left with our guests. But I do want to briefly digress, and we were just talking behind the scenes for internet listeners and viewers, but for the full radio audience, we were talking about, are they going to go into Iran? And he was saying, well, it looks like they're leaning towards that, and he mentioned Cy Hersh and others with sources. Our sources in Congress say the same thing. Ron Paul, who isn't one to shoot his mouth off, said last week before the House that we're basically going to go into martial law and total tyranny because that's all the preparations he sees. He says colleagues walk around giggling and talking about nuking Iran like children. A mass mental illness, kind of like one of those Bible verses about, you know, giving over to craziness, mass lunacy has now taken us, and he was getting into that finishing up. Do you see any way of changing this and going into this long, dark night that's going to make the 60s look like a Tea Party?
I'm afraid at this point in time, short of a very serious mass uprising and awareness, I don't. Remember, KBR was given this contract, $385 million, over a year, February ago, to to build effectively a concentration camp-like facilities in every state of the Union, and to refurbish some existing facilities so they could be used. The excuse was that they needed these places for illegal immigrants, which is absolute nonsense. And when you talk about putting them up in Maine and Vermont, places like that, we're talking about illegal immigrants.
Well, Rex 84 in the 80s, the original plan by Oliver North and Poindexter, as you know, sir, being a scholar, said they would use it as a cover, saying it was for foreigners, but it was really for dissidents.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. And they are anticipating at some point a roundup, which is an excuse for the declaration of martial law. I think all of the seeds have been sown. For martial law in this country, effectively, surreptitiously, of course, there's no barrier now to virtually doing anything that they want to do, and that is the problem. There is dissent. There are some independent jurists and some independent courts. I think they're going to run roughshod over them. They just need an excuse to declare martial law, and an attack on Iran. Or some type of false flag operation here in the United States would give them that excuse. So I think we may not be terribly far away from that. If they don't need to go to that extreme, if they can continue to dumb down the population and to minimize any kind of effective dissent, they're going to do that, of course. So just continue.
The reason I think they're going to go with it,
what's making it more and more difficult, Alex, is the decline of the economy, because there's no doubt now we're heading back toward 1929.
That's what I was about to say. That's going to push him. And you just next point you just made it.
Yeah.
So are you saying you see this as an accelerant towards martial law, the economy imploding? Go ahead.
Yes, I think increasingly as middle class people become alienated. As they did during the Vietnam War, by the way, when their children were being drafted. Now the alienation is not a draft, but it's going to be a loss of jobs, inability to feed their families, shortage of basic goods that they need.
I'll tell you what else is scary. I'll tell you what else is scary. They're taking masses of the Austin police to Israel to train them in anti-terror and literally in how to control the U.S. That means the people. And they're taking every other major city department over there for brainwashing. I mean, and on their own battle plans, basically turning America into fenced-in cities and checkpoints where we're all slaves.
Yeah, I think that the signs are there that the preparations are being raised for the purpose of taking those steps if they have to take them. He brought in the Orlando Air Reserve into Washington. Bush brought them in, nationalized them, brought them into Washington several months ago now. And he did it very quietly, but in anticipation of serious unrest in the Capitol arising and having enough forces. They didn't have enough forces to put down what they anticipated Martin was going to do in May, June of 68 in Washington with the encampment. So they were never going to be able to let that he could never leave Memphis.
They've also announced everywhere, like Chicago, that we're going to use National Guard now to fight crime, not just terrorism. So we're really seeing them flip the switches and turn on martial law already.
Yes, that's right. I think that's right. Posse Comitatus, the prohibition of using military forces for civil disorder and civil purposes is gone. It's effectively been wiped out.
So they have the tyranny system idling, and now they're starting the juggernaut rolling. I do, with Congress with a 9% approval rating and 70%+ of the troops against the war, and what I see, I don't see it being a popular martial law like with Hitler. I don't see it going well for them. I think it may collapse like the Soviet Union. And do you agree that's the best we can hope for?
Well, it is probably the best we can hope for. I mean, you know, they spent $1 trillion on Iraq. Obama's talking about beefing up Afghanistan. He threw Brzezinski off his foreign policy team, as you may know. Now, whatever one thinks of Brzezinski, the guy is nevertheless a hard-headed pragmatist. And whichever side he's on, he is a pragmatist.
And he's been saying de-escalate.
And he's saying do not make the same mistake that the Soviets made. Do not do that in Afghanistan, Obama. And he threw him off the team. And he's talking about beefing up the troops in Afghanistan. That's never going to be solved militarily. We've not learned that lesson.
Well, that just gives the Afghans more targets to shoot.
Oh, there's no question about that. It's a very foolish move. We're going from one to another, and then if you're saddled with Iraq as well, and a declining economy, with the economy going into the toilet, this place is going to be on fire.
The dollar in free fall?
The dollar is a serious, serious trouble, and it's going to get worse. And think about the price of oil if they attack Iran.
Well,
think about
Mr.
it.
Mr. Pepper, here's the thing. Every analyst, liberal, conservative, mainline, father of Reaganomics, Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winner, yourself, you all say the exact same thing, because there's no other way to analyze this than I have some of the troops sending me threatening emails with their MySpace handles in uniform, not the majority, saying, yeah, we're going to kill you too. And they're laughing and think it's funny and cute. Don't they know it's going to ruin their mothers' and fathers' pensions?
No.
And our whole, don't they know that they're going to get... that this whole corporate global system isn't their friend either? Don't they understand that they're not going to get a cakewalk? That they're bringing destruction down on themselves? Or are they just so unknowledgeable about common sense and history that they have no idea?
They are unknowledgeable, and they're continuing to be dumbed down. They're continuing to be fed the propaganda. And that's the great crime of the corporate media in this country, which is simply silent. It does not inform the people. It disinforms them continually. So, I mean, that's what faces us. The only thing you can do, people like you, Alex, and with your outreach, have got to try to make people aware of these things. But more than making them aware, you've got to encourage them to organize. We used to have a motto which said, don't mourn, organize. You simply, if you love this republic and you want to preserve it, or any semblance of it, you simply have to organize. And you can start organizing at the local level and just spread the groups as much as possible.
Well, I agree. And folks, you're talking to a man who's lived it and done it. It was on the phone, William Pepper. I have seen quite a bit, but nothing like he has. Don't wait till the martial law's in and they shut the main web off. They're already set Internet 2 up and said they're getting ready to shut down access to 95% of the web. That's announced mainstream news. Don't wait until the troops and the mercenaries and I mean, when Bush is hiring tens of thousands of aggravated felons for the military, I mean, William, this is getting again Twilight Zone. I keep imagining that, you know, keep thinking that Rod Serling's going to walk out in front of things and tell me it was all a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, it feels unreal, doesn't it?
It does. Well, we've only got about 18 minutes left, and just in a nutshell, what they did to Martin, what you discovered, and your book. All the Bobby stuff coming out. I mean, it's open and shut, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. If we can move on with the King case has basically been solved. There are a few loose pieces that I'm taking care of, but it's basically done. Bob Kennedy, the Kennedy case is actually easier. I was asked by Sirhan a long time ago to get involved and refused. Because what happens when you get. I was working on the King case, and now I would jump into that, and they would say, "Well, here he is, this conspiracy nutter," and it was just not the thing to do. Finally, we basically finished, and the King family was satisfied because they really understood finally how Martin was killed and why he was killed. They gave me some of the new information, the new evidence on the assassination of Bob Kennedy. And it's overwhelming. It's black and white. There is just no question that Sirhan did not kill him and could not have killed him. And so I've taken that case on full score now, and we're going to press forward and using similar tactics I used in the King case. Eventually, we're going to be able to put under oath all of the evidence that will show that Bob Kennedy was not killed by Sirhan. Bob was shot from behind. Bullet went into the right side of his head by the right ear. The gun, according to the autopsy report, was about an inch to 2 inches from the back of his head. There were three shots that hit his body. They were all from behind, and they were all at very close range. And a fourth shot went through his shoulder pad. Sirhan was in front of Kennedy, never closer than 3 to 5 feet in the front of him. He started shooting. The first shot appears to have been simply a blank cartridge that flared up and distracted everybody. And then he got a second shot off, and then his arm was pinned to the table. And he kept pulling the trigger, and bullets went all over the pantry. But while all that distraction was going on, Bob was hit. The assassin hit him from behind. And it's quite clear that that Sirhan didn't do it. It's also quite clear, since he hasn't got any recollection of what happened, that he was hypnoprogrammed. And this has been now analyzed by a number of people, including a psychologist who spent over 20 visits with him when he was in San Quentin. So we've got a task ahead of us to look at the whole psychological aspect of this and the hypnoprogramming that we strongly believe was done to this guy to set him up the way that he was set up. So that process is now in motion. We're going to be persistent. We're going to persevere, and we're going to get this evidence out finally. We've just had the benefit of acoustical evidence that has been revealed and confirms what we have from other aspects evidence earlier, very clearly indicating that 13 shots were fired, that two weapons were used, because there's an acoustical difference between the sound of the discharge. And it's remarkable, because Sirhan's gun, of course, only had 8 bullets in it, that the number of shots that actually were fired, indicating quite clearly a second gun and another assassin. So all of that is, and it's scientifically indisputable. One of the guys involved, the former president of the Association of Forensic Scientists in America, Robert Joling. So I think, and Phil von Prague is the guy who did the acoustical work. So I think we're going to go forward with the Bob Kennedy case, and eventually we'll reveal that he was assassinated by forces other than a lone gunman once again. And we're going to see the same people at work in this assassination, the same forces at work in this assassination, determined not to let Bob Kennedy become president.
What do you think of the news footage the BBC's gotten where it shows 3 known CIA guys all spinning images, dancing around right before he's killed out there? And you can watch the body language directing people, too, looking like they're on a rabbit hunt or something. Very obvious.
Well, I know Shane O'Sullivan quite well, and Shane did that piece, and he's also written a very detailed book. A lot of his information is very, very good and solid. I think I got to look much more closely at that aspect of it, because I think some doubt has been thrown up with respect to some of the identities.
But when we're talking about the acoustics, when you have the head of the National Acoustics, Forensics Association, and others, this is open and shut.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think there's any question about that. But we're going to have to go through, Alex, the bureaucracy of the judicial system in the state of California, which is going to try to block us on on technicalities. They're never going to deal with the merits of this case. They're going to try to stop us on the basis of timeliness, statute of limitations issues, the usual kind of technical opposition that when you don't want anything to come forward on the merits, you put all these technical issues up in front to try and get the case dismissed. And unfortunately, a number of the members of the bench out there were prosecutors in that office at the time.
Well, as you said, we have the coroner, one of the top in the country, saying he was shot repeatedly in the back of the head. So we know that's a lie. Well, we know the guy that Mr. Caesar was a known spook behind him. It's important. People say this is 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 45 years ago. People are saying, why does this stuff matter? It matters because the same, even as Bruce Willis finally woke up seeing some of my films when Rick Linklater gave them to him a few years ago, he said, oh my God, the people that killed Kennedy are in control now. And even said that then in Vanity Fair after we broke it before he went public. Even if somebody like Bruce Willis can wake up, the general public should be able to wake up. But you've been around a lot of these elitists and a lot of these big power brokers in your life and talked to folks that have also been around them. What is the mindset of the type of people that will stage terror attacks in the U.S. to blame it on enemies and launch wars, who will kill presidents, who will kill people running for president? I mean, what is their mindset? What, I mean, obviously it's money and power and control, but what really drives them at the end of the day?
I think at the end of the day, they are driven by the things you mentioned. They're driven by money and they're driven by power. They are in many ways the agents of a corporate industrial military complex that dominates public and increasingly private life in this country. And they get rewarded when they perform in a compatible way as public servants. They often end up on the boards of directors of many of these situations. You know, I mean, former head of American Express indicated that 5,000 people run this republic, and he said, you know, they meet at a place called the Bohemian. Their representatives meet at a place called the Bohemian Grove, and they usually sidle up there about once a year. And they make critical decisions are made up at the Bohemian Grove by the representatives of these people.
Yeah, that's a super class. We interviewed him, and I've snuck into Bohemian Grove. It's going on right now. Stay there. We're going to talk behind the scenes with Mr. Pepper about the super class. They run it. They could care less about you. They're turning the country into a prison for you so they can carry out their criminal activities untouched. Stay with us. William Pepper's our guest.
Hey, Bonnie.
William, please continue, sir, with you were getting into the super class and how they meet and what they do.
Yeah, well, I think they basically dominate public life in this country and every aspect of it, and every major corporation and financial institution is dominated by them. You know, when Jack Kennedy came into power, there had been developed before he came in a plan for the invasion of Cuba, and that plan was a false flag operation that was to involve alleged Cubans in committing terrorist acts on American soil to justify the invasion of Cuba. When that plan was put on Kennedy's desk, he said, "Oh my God, these guys are nuts." The name of that plan was called Northwoods. And it's not well known. People have written.
Let me
about
stop
it.
You and just interject a question. I want you to get into Northwoods, Mr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I saw one little frontline blurb before it was even declassified about him being upset about invasion plans that had provocations. Then years later, in 2000, Northwoods, ABC, Baltimore Sun, as you know, coming out with it. But it looks from history, and you know more about it than I, that Kennedy was kind of a hawk and believed in mom and apple pie and kind of naive in a way, super patriot, P.T. boat in the whole nine yards. And that now I've had others like yourself say that when they brought in this plan to stage terror attacks to him, that's when he said, "I'm tearing up the CIA. We're getting out of Vietnam and you guys are fired."
Well, he was very naive. You know, Jack Kennedy in many ways was an adolescent right straight into the presidency. He was bright. He was well intentioned, but he was naive, and he couldn't believe that some of these things that were being proposed to him. And of course, the Bay of Pigs, which he eventually was saddled with, and had misgivings about, but nevertheless let go forward to a point, which taught him a great lesson. And that's when he fired Dulles from the CIA. But the interesting thing, Alex, about the Northwoods plan was that. That was one of the first, I think, confrontations that he had with Lemnitzer, who was the admiral who drew it up. And what I learned fairly recently is that, you know, the name of the golf course where the chaps at the Bohemian Grove play, it's a 9-hole golf course. They go, of course, they all play there.
It's Northwoods.
Those who play, it's called Northwoods.
And they brag that they cooked up the Manhattan Project, Star Wars, all of it at the Grove, at the chalet, which our hidden cameras have infiltrated. And
is that right?
Oh yeah, I ought to send you my film. Well, I've actually made two films on that. We're going back to the main audience right now.
Right.
You could spend 50 hours with William Pepper. Just he has knowledge about every facet. In fact, he has knowledge about all the things we cover here, and then he'll always have a little more for you. And he was just pointing out that Operation Northwoods had the same name as where they hatch all this stuff, the golf course outside Bohemian Grove, where they pick up their male and female prostitutes as well. And I've been there and seen it with my own two eyeballs. It's in The Order of Death and my second film about Bohemian Grove. And they put the guy in prison who snuck in to get that footage for us. I snuck in and have only gotten death threats in 2000. They just arrested the editor of Vanity Fair, tried to infiltrate. No doubt they had moles inside Vanity Fair that, see, the force is with us, folks. That's why we're able to do this. And I thank God every day I'm still alive. The force is not with most of these other people. Sir, in closing, talk about your book. We got 5 minutes. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Pepper? And then I want to get you back on in the near future to talk about some of your other amazing experiences.
Well, I mean, Active State is out as a paperback. I am representing Sirhan. We're pushing forward with that. I've also agreed to represent some victims of 9/11 in another lawsuit that I'm developing. That is a very sensitive lawsuit because it relates to the whole funding, the background and funding of 9/11. So that's going forward. These things, unfortunately, Alex, cost a great deal of money, and I'm having to try to earn funds out of regular legal, corporate, and other international legal work that I do to try to pay for it all. So it's not very easy to do that. The main book that I've virtually completed now is a book on Hugo Chavez Frias, the president of Venezuela, who has been, of course, a thorn in the side of the Americans and their efforts.
I meant to get into that with you last time you were on. We've got to set you up to come on and talk about, you know him well, the real Hugo Chavez, because that is obviously so important to what's happening geopolitically. And that leads me to my final question for you. Do you get death threats? And people ask, well, why is William Pepper still alive if he's done all of this? I would venture to say they don't want to make you a martyr. They don't want to put an exclamation point behind everything you've said and done. They don't want to highlight the work because you've already done your body of work and continue to do it. It won't help them to kill you. I mean, is that correct?
I think that's right. I think they should have hit me early on in the King work. And that no one would probably have noticed, and that would have been the end of it. But when the King family got involved, and they became really a part of the work that I was doing and in support of it, then it became very difficult for them at that point in time. And since then, I think they believe if they can just shut things down, whether it's a 9/11 work that I've encouraged or my support of Chavez back and forth in Venezuela and the Sirhan case, if they can shut them down and use any other means, they try to do that rather than kill. The answer question is yes, there are death threats all the time, but they're not. I don't take them as being serious. I think in many ways, if they could let people like me and people like you go about the business of dissent in a controlled way, so that we are not really impacting on
it. Creates the illusion of liberty, yeah. And then they say, "Oh, see, they're just nuts."
That's exactly what it is. It's only when you start to get very close to the bone, the way Martin King and Bob Kennedy were
getting power,
that they take you out.
They were trying to get control through the electoral process of the main executive mechanism.
Yes, that's right.
They were approaching the levers of control.
That's right, and that's where they took them out.
Whereas we're just down here trying to wake up the sheep who are happily chewing their cud. William Pepper, fire out websites people can visit.
I'm sorry?
Fire out your websites. Give us your websites.
Well, I don't personally have one. I've never had one, but one of the readers has organized a website called activestate.org, and so that's the name of the second book, so there is a website there.
Activestate.org. Tell you what, stay there. Back in 1 minute for 2 more minutes.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Let me talk to Pepper.
Be sure to visit GCN.
Chewing their cud. William Pepper, fire out websites people can visit.
I'm sorry?
Fire out your websites. Give us your websites.
Well, I don't personally have one. I've never had one, but one of the readers has organized a website called activestate.org, and so that's the name of the second book, so there is a website there.
Activestate.org. Tell you what, stay there. Back in 1 minute for 2 more minutes.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information.
like being a puppet, sir. Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
Please sit down and shut up.
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job. How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth in 5 years, we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at Prison
Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Political prisoner Mark Kornke joining us in the next segment for his weekly visit with us. Dennis Kucinich, moving forward with impeachment articles in front of the judiciary, does join us in the last 20 minutes of the show today. That is confirmed. I'm having to cut back St. John Hunt's time next hour, but I'll have him back on for part two next week. Totally jam-packed. Finishing up with William Pepper, author, researcher, exposed the murder, assassination of Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and, of course, 9/11 being an inside job. And we've got him for about three more minutes. We're going to get him back up in the next few weeks to get more into actually prosecuting the criminals. We're trying to do that through the Congress. He was bringing up some other way to do it. Very dangerous work he's involved in. Ron Paul's plane just depressurized yesterday night. Very dangerous. Good chance it was an attempted assassination. There were seven congressmen on board. We'll talk about that with Mark Kornke coming up. Folks, we're in the danger zone right now. Make no mistake. But going back, Mr. Pepper, we got about 3.5 minutes of finishing up your statements.
Okay, well, we could discuss the whole Chavez phenomenon and that movement, the Bolivarian movement, at length another time. That takes a lot more time. The prosecution of the war criminals in Washington, I think, is essential. Vince Bugliosi, of course, has come out with a book now, advocating the prosecution of George Bush for murder, and he builds a case for a murder prosecution inside the United States based upon the fact that over 4,000 soldiers have died on false pretenses and lies and were sent to their deaths. And so he's talked about a domestic prosecution. And certainly that should go forward. My interest would be more in a prosecution on international criminal law with respect to the number one crime, the war of aggression, secondly, crimes against humanity and contravention of the torture statutes and the torture convention. That's all feasible. It involves more than Bush. It involves about 15 to 20 people in that administration, all of whom played a role. And there is a research team now, both in England at Oxford, where I've been involved in, and over here, that are developing a bill of indictment for that purpose. Now, it may be futile to submit that to the new attorney general next year, because that prosecution will probably never happen in the United States. But that has to be done procedurally before any foreign prosecution can commence. And that's what I think will probably happen, that there will be foreign prosecutions of these people eventually.
Well, I believe the prosecution should be done right here in the Republic, but if it's totally controlled and the Congress is cowed through threats, intimidation, and
That's
collusion,
right.
I think to internationally display the crimes to then trigger prosecution here is the avenue to go, plus the international order is so corrupted by the very same corporate interest and the UN crimes are covered up. But I do agree, any avenue to stall World War III and to hamstring the New World Order and kind of use its own mechanisms against itself is a good thing.
Let me tell you, Alex, I know a few foreign judges, magistrates and foreign judges who were chafing at the bit to actually undertake the prosecution of these people.
Well,
they're ready to go now. That's how much anger there is over what this crowd has done throughout the world.
Well, there's even a lot of elites that know this is reckless. This is Hitlerian, and it's endangering the whole planet. And everything is spiraling into a black abyss. William Pepper, thank you so much for spending time with us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
You bet. An amazing hour-long interview. Folks, we had Willie Nelson on today. That's why I cut 30 minutes of Mark's time, which he's gracious to give us an hour and a half. He's cut down to an hour. because I wanted to call Willie up and have him on tomorrow, the next day, about the impeachment hearing. He said, let's do it today. And then he announced, hey, a caller called in, and I talked him off air. He wants me to spearhead a truth conference slash anti-war huge concert. This is totally wild. We have Dennis Kucinich coming on later in the next hour. Mark Corngy for the rest of this hour. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, ultra-massive transmission. The enemy's moving. We're moving against them to meet the threat. God is with us.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty worldwide. But in liberty's darkest hour, there is hope. For the first time in modern history, the people are beginning to wake up. It is essential that patriots worldwide accelerate their fellow man's understanding of the New World Order master plan. We have a short time frame to fully awaken and energize the people to meet this threat. In the info war, PrisonPlanet.tv is a powerful weapon in the battle to regain our freedom. PrisonPlanet.tv is a vault of forbidden information. All 18 of my documentary films can be downloaded or streamed in super high quality directly to your computer or iPhone and shared with others. Thousands of special video reports, from tainted vaccines to martial law, can be found in this online video library. My weekly news television broadcast, thousands of exclusive audio interviews, and so much more. The InfoWar is waiting for you to set it free. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Burn the info bombs to disk. Put them on the file sharing networks. Bring down the New World Order. PrisonPlanet.tv.
Imagine if I'd come to you a couple of years ago and said to you, hey, gasoline prices are going to jump to $5 a gallon, and I know a way that we can store several hundred gallons for you, a year or two's supply of gasoline. Buy it today at $2 a gallon, and when it goes to $5 a gallon, you'll be way ahead of the game. And you probably at the time would have said to me, you're nuts, get away, you're crazy lunatic, go bye-bye, and okay, fine. Now I'm telling you, what's happened to gasoline is happening to food. Your grocery bill is going to skyrocket, and you can put bulk foods away at less than half the price of your regular grocery bill. And by tomorrow's standards, that could be at less than a fourth of the price, or an eighth of the price, or a sixteenth of the price. Hello, do you have an investor's brain or not? Pay attention. Storable foods, bulk foods from the J. Michael Stevens Company. EatFoodsDirect.com. Go there now, EatFoodsDirect.com. Get a year or two's worth of bulk foods while they still are available, and they won't be much longer. Or call them at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less.
Let me talk to Corn 3.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 500 to get a free trial and a free webcam.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the danger zone. Make no mistake, my friends. They've killed a lot of us. They've falsely imprisoned more of us. Like Mark Corngy, 7 years behind the wire for doing nothing but being run off the road by police. Trying to get his sons out of the car so they couldn't kill him. As they'd sworn to do. Further on the edge, ladies and gentlemen, the greater the intensity. I think you just heard the birth earlier of, you know how big Farm Aid is with Willie Nelson? He just said in and around Farm Aid, he will do a huge concert for 9/11 Truth. That is definitely punching it into overdrive. That will get a lot of attention. You can laugh at this cheesy 80s song, but it says it all. You don't know what you can do until you go ahead and go out on the edge. And those who haven't been out on the edge don't know what the edge is. But to all of you who stood up for liberty and freedom, going back thousands of years, the only reason we have any liberty or freedom is because of those men and women. I salute you, and I salute those who have the spirit of 1776 in them today, who are out there on the danger zone. And the rest of this song is for you. Then we go to Mark Kornke. Yeah, David Rockefeller doesn't like the danger zone. He wants to put us in the danger zone. We're going to put him in the danger zone. Having a lot of fun here today. All right, I'm very excited about what's happening because we are really taking a lot of enemy fire. That means we're having an effect. But flight carrying Ron Paul, seven congressmen total, Continental flight. They rarely depressurize. Massive total depressurization. They had to do an emergency landing. This is one of their favorite ways to kill people. Don't think for a minute this is an accident. There's been all sorts of threats. Ron Paul went before the House last week and said they're getting ready for martial law in World War III. They know he is one of the main leaders. They've been threatening Dennis Kucinich, threatening anybody that tries to stand in their way. Folks, we are going into the danger zone. The attack on Iran, martial law, all of it. And that's why we've been having Mark Kornke on each week. Mark, I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. And again, there are no accidents, technology like that especially. You got to remember, with the level of redundancy and the work that's done, my question would be, with depressurization failure of the aircraft, hey, did they scramble two fighters the way they're supposed to check on the plane?
Well, they're just reporting it was a very serious total depressurization. Oxygen mask came down. Again, it was one of those things, just like with Payne Stewart, where it just suddenly came on. People started getting dizzy, and thank God they got the plane down. That's one of their favorite ways. They killed some of Bush's pilots a few years ago, Bush Sr., coming in with a depressurization, hitting the light pole. They've killed a lot of other people that way. I mean, this is not a coincidence, Mark. There's just no way.
Right. An interesting thing. The reason I was kind of being facetious there is, remember, any other time that the FAA has had an incident like this or a transponder failure, 600 times a year, fighter aircraft that are owned by the trillion-dollar Air Force of the United States, multi-trillion-dollar Air Force, go up and inspect or assist in whatever way they can to observe the aircraft to see if there's injury or damage and to help the pilots out by being able to instruct them. My curious question is here, they never did that once during 9/11, we know the story there, but in a situation like this, it would be policy and precautionary, and it was contrary to such when they failed to launch any aircraft in 9/11. In this situation, this would be normal, it would be standard operating procedure to have a couple of planes lift off the air, and since we're in this war of terrorism, and the war of terror, where we now don't care about Osama bin Laden, we don't protect the borders of America, we aren't securing the country at all, other than cavity searching grandma at the airport for plastic bottles of cosmetics. Woo-hoo, that's protecting the country. Meanwhile, are we maintaining this standard with the Air Force on standby and ready to go? I'd be curious about that.
Well, Mark, didn't launch aircraft. And to answer your question, I have about four reports here in front of me. Five reports here in front of me, but this is what happened. Ron Paul was about to really slam the FAA for all sorts of payoffs and corruption. He'd already been speaking of that. He's scheduled to be on tomorrow due to this freak out. Who knows? But they were going to a committee meeting today dealing with it, and he was going to be leading with those other six congressmen a fight to expose the corruption. That is actually in the KHOU Channel 11 out of Houston TV report. I mean, he's going to criticize the airlines and billions of dollars in cheating they're involved in, and his plane depressurizes. I mean,
By God, he better make sure that he stays on course, and pardon the pun on that, but you know what I mean? Stay on flight, stay on target. You're taking flak. That means you're hitting the proper target. When you know you're over the target, when you can feel the plane bucking from the air defense fire, you know what I mean? So for everybody out there listening, the best thing we can do right now is to everybody out there listening, no matter where you are, we need to give Ron Paul's office a support, you know, call in one form or another. Send him an email. Example, stay on course, Ron. You hit the right target. Obviously, it's time to dump the payload, okay?
I would call the White House and tell them don't do it. That's
yeah,
who I would
very
call.
Bad idea. Well, the other thing I would say is this. Now, and this is something that we had as a policy. I've flown millions of miles, of course, under a dozen. Actually, your listeners know because they helped with this. Under virtually thousands of names, okay, back in the day. And because of this, we were able to speak to millions and millions and millions of people and travel to 48 of the 50 states, pretty much with impunity. And we got the message out and around. But there's a given point where people said, well, you can't fly anymore. Well, we understood the risk of that, but we continued anyway. And progressively, there were more and more restrictions and things, of course, were thrown in there to try and stumble things up. But there is a point, and I would say this of most any candidate like Ron Paul, where flying is not an option. And I would say this of many people right now, flying is not an option. It may take us a little bit longer, and keyword is a little bit longer. But for any of our key personnel, anybody out there listening, all of you people that are friends or allies of those individuals, we're going to need drivers. We're going to need security.
Well, I had a gut feeling. You know, Willie doesn't fly anymore. He drives in a bus. And I have a bad feeling. I'm, of course, going to be driving to the Denver convention, even though that's going to take about a day and a half, 2 days, just because I'm going to really, especially with these body scanners, with your scanning your naked body. I mean, just everything is going to hell in a handbasket. And I think this was divine intervention, because a lot of times when they have these depressurizations, you know, shortly after takeoff, it is bad, and these are so rare. I mean, this is just so bad. Or it may have just been a warning, but I tell you, he gives a speech last week saying they're getting ready to drop the hammer. He's going in to expose the FAA and the airlines, and then they depressurize the aircraft. I mean, this is getting bad.
Well, let's focus again on making sure we give the right support where it's needed, and again, everybody out there listening can do a little bit. Pick up the phone, say hi. Hopefully everybody's okay, and by the way, stick to the course. We'll help you in any way that we can.
Well, we're going to have Ron Paul on tomorrow, and I guess flooding their lines is fine, maybe even with a political donation or something when we call. But you know, the main thing is, I think, letting the enemy know that we are fully aware of their activities. And Mark, do you have any doubt that this wasn't either a message or an attempted murder, and that I think divine intervention was involved?
Oh, I think more or less it was probably something that was intentionally engineered. I mean, it was, number one, the problem is, we've always argued, this is why aircraft are dangerous, is because, like the Kennedy, young Kennedy, when he was assassinated in his personal aircraft, the pilot is not watching the plane 24 hours a day. The crew and the pilot may have no clue what's going to happen. On the other hand, in some cases, the pilots are even flat out told, well, either cooperate with this situation or... You know, it's the old mafia routine. They did this when they got rid of Torrijos in Panama. The pilot was basically told, I mean, this is one of the rules in Central America, either, you know, go down with the plane or they wipe out their family, the cat, the dog, and everybody else.
Yeah, what they do is they send you photos of your children playing in the backyard, and they say, I'm going to rape this one for weeks before I slit their throat. And I've had them threaten my children. I know they've threatened your children. And you know what? We're just committed, you bastard scumbags. We know you're murdering trash, and you're going to be defeated.
And we're going to hunt them down and do to, well, let's put it this way. We're not going to lower ourselves to their standard, but we're going to do to them what needs to be done to properly incarcerate, to try, and to bring to light. This is the one thing they're terrified of, is they've always thought they operate complete shadows. They don't. We're going to switch all the lights on, and the cockroaches will have no place to run. That's what they're terrified of. We must look at them and tell them that we see them for what they are. That's the most critical aspect of everything we're doing right now. Look at them and just, they quail. They shudder. They are terrified. When you don't look at them with fear, but you look at them with disgust because you know what they've done and who they are.
Yeah, I've done this to politicians at events, and they start freaking out, sweating, because they're cowards. They love murdering children, bombing women. These are literal demons from the crack of hell. And they're not going away until we defeat them. That's what people don't understand. They don't have a choice, do they, Mark? This isn't going to stop. They're not going away. They want a big bloody meal off of us, and we just can't let them do it.
With minimal cost. Remember, that's the whole idea. Remember, throw you in the cattle chute, run you down the chute, give you a mouthful of grain, and, oh, man, it's pretty good, pretty tasty. It's wheat. Nom, nom, nom. Hey, we're moving forward. Hey, we're moving forward. Hey, what's the guy with the gun? Oh, too late. That's what they'd like to see happen. We're not going to. That's why you need to be organized in the physical world. That's why the militia must be in place. It's part of the checks and balances.
Because you don't have a choice when they're taking you to a FEMA camp. You don't have a choice. We're not looking for war. They take first blood. That's it. We're going to keep talking behind the scenes right now, Mark. We just went into break. Please continue, Mark, because I want to just you know what? You got the floor the next 40 minutes. Anything you want to cover, go ahead and hit it.
Right. Well, the big thing right now is organization at the tactical level needs to be expanded on dramatically. We're a lot of militias are seeing a massive influx right now. For those people that are listening, they know that I'm going to say this. I told you so because it's expected. It's just a natural cycle. One of the most important things that people can do to accelerate the process of bringing up the proficiency and the expertise of those people coming in is standard operating procedure. Now, this means, first of all, knowing to train the individual and how to accelerate his or her program, knowing how to organize the five-man fire team, knowing how to organize the squad. These are the three basic building blocks of any army. I don't care what part of the planet. I don't care how big or small. If those three components are engineered properly, they can be re-juggled around. They can be restructured as needed. But the force strength will be in place where it's needed, when it's needed. A concept of this goes back even, well, before Korea, but it was called the Regimental Combat Team Complex or concept. And what they did is basically were able to, if everything had been trained properly, take many different units, reorganize them accordingly, put them where they needed to be, bring them back out of the action, reorganize, and structure them for the next issue that might need to be dealt with. The fire team and the squad, plus the effective training of the individual, is what accomplishes this. And that's what the other side is terrified of. Training is everything. Repetition, so it becomes second nature. It doesn't become something I have to think about. If somebody gets hit, first aid training is designed so that it takes and goes into operation immediately. Weapons procedure, how to use a weapon, how to safely operate the weapon, isn't something you think about later. It is drilled in as operational procedure, and it means that everybody out there needs to train. They need to train. Oh, and did I mention another word? They need to train. That's what the other side is terrified of.
Mark, let me throw a caveat here in. What about the general public just having plans of evacuation if need be, where they're going to go, having friends, having food, having water, having the firearms, making sure they're in operation, just basic stuff, even below militia.
That is part of the, even that is militia preparation. They just don't, most people don't realize the M word's attached.
And people need to ask themselves now, what do you do if they got a truck grabbing certain people at certain houses? What is your battle plan? Obviously, try to get away, try to not have a confrontation, but do not go to the death camp.
Well, I think here's an old question we asked all through the 90s, which is why we held our ground effectively. You know, people always ask, what are they going to do when they come to my door? Well, the question is not that, is what are you going to do when they come to your neighbor's door first? We have to be prepared to work together and to stand together. The most common mistake made is, and of course, now people would say, well, I don't know my neighbor. Well, maybe you do need to find out more about your neighbor. Now, if you don't think your neighbor's that trustworthy, but you got a lot of other people that you're going to be evacuating to, then obviously you need to DD the AO, as they say, get out of the area of operation as quickly as possible. Best still is, as the indicators are in place, we leave before it happens.
Let's talk about signs, because, I mean, you will see this.
Exactly.
You will see the propaganda in the days before preparing. You'll probably see a trigger event.
Well, again, example we just had down in your neck of the woods, Igor talking about is Red Brigades. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Wait a minute. Let's write his eco-police, his spies everywhere. You know, they keep re-engineering the name, but the bottom line is they need this massive wall of rodents.
Okay, start it over. Start it over. Going back to the main transmission. Get back to Al Gore down here with their 10 million, excuse me, the secret police are 1 million, so that's 11 million. Let's get into the new brigades. Let's cover it right now. Mark Hornkey is our guest. He's going to tell you how to get the most up-to-date militia manuals, training videos, preparation. Most of it's free on YouTube and Google. He's got links to that as well. We do not want war, ladies and gentlemen. We want peace. But we will not go to death camps. We will not have foreign troops and felons rape our families. We will defend the Republic 110%. We are trying every avenue, as the founders did, to peacefully energize the public, the military, and police to join the Republic and to realize they have been overtaken and brainwashed by the New World Order crime syndicate. But we will defend ourselves. Mark Hornkey.
So, interestingly enough, we've got Igor right down there in your neck of the woods talking about this, these new red brigades, the new, you know, spies, the eco-freaks, the eco-police. Now, I'm a conservationist, and I understand full well preservation of life, and I love the planet. But there's a basic rule here that these characters are just another re-engineered version of all of the rest of the nonsense they keep proposing. A national police force, a national spy network, rodents everywhere watching over everybody else. Real quick, for part of your reading assignment, find the book The Fabian Freeway. The Fabian Freeway. We are dealing with Fabian the Socialists, the hardcore element of all of socialism. They are at Oxford. By the way, Oxford was mentioned at the end of the last hour, I will point out. Beware there, because Oxford is the core of Fabian the Socialism and their agenda for world domination. Literally world domination. They brag about it. If you haven't seen George Orwell standing in front of the picture of the 12 wise men, which is a stained glass at Oxford, and if you don't understand that those are the critters who were orchestrating global entities such as the League of Nations and fabricated World War One.
Mark, I totally agree with you. And then they have the false left system as what we run to out of the stage fascist system. In fairness to Pepper, though, some of the people that go through that system see the big picture and don't like it and then turn against it. And I think he's one of them.
And try to move away. But the problem is the machine itself is hopefully through osmosis, like sticky material on a fly trap, try to pull you back in one form so you don't get too far away. And that's the dangerous part. Remember, yeah, you can affect to a degree, but most important is we need to build new. And this is true also with regard to even the multiple generations within the militia, the way it has developed over the years. The militia was here before everything. People go, oh, that's sacrilege.
Before the Marine Corps, before the Army, before the Founding Fathers, they are the Sons of Liberty. They are the core. They did it all.
In fact, interestingly enough, remember, the war didn't start until 1775. The Declaration of Independence doesn't come around until 16 months later, 1776. We are taught 1776, so we will ignore history.
The Sons of Liberty were around in 1760.
That's right. They were, in fact, it was anticipated that the American Revolution would probably start around 1765 based upon the abuses and the train of abuses that preceded. What took place is because of the money change and a number of other actions, the British were able to stall that off. In other words, they appeased to a degree and they realized, wait a minute, well, the stove's getting a little too hot. We don't want them to figure out what's going on. We're boiling the frog too fast. So they backed off, but then a chain of abuses came into play to include the occupation, and in fact, the forced housing and feeding of British troops on colonial soil, on American houses. This was part of a long, progressive occupation.
And we're seeing a replay of all of it.
In 1775, the forces then tried to confiscate the arms. They came out many times. Paul Revere didn't make his ride once. He made his ride at least seven times, and you could count actually nine, depending on how you look at it.
In fact, they stopped him and wanted to arrest him, and they said, "You're the guy."
Yeah, that was April 18th through to April 19th. But before that, he had made the ride many times, and the militia had mobilized, and the British forces had come out of Boston. They were forced to retreat because the militia across the whole of the countryside was active, because the militia was the whole of the people.
And by the way, now, folks, you're not directed by any one individual or group. It is a basic manifesto of liberty and freedom. It is a code to where this is leaderless resistance. It is unstoppable. They're taking women and children to camps. You defend them, period.
And everybody pitches in. And this is one of the things where we said, what do you do when your neighbors attack? Well, number one, if at all possible, you organize virtually so that you are working together. When a foreign invader, and a foreign invader can be the federal forces askew, if an individual, if any kind of enforcement agency is acting, and it is an obvious, apparent, you know, it'd be apparent beyond a shadow of a doubt.
In a rogue fashion. In a rogue fashion.
When they are acting and they are violating, when you see them beating women, when you see them shooting people arbitrarily, which is one of the things that you are going to see. This isn't going to be a kind of, sort of. I'll give you another example here real quick. We had all the information. I brought this up at American Peril 3. I got attacked left and right for the torture issue. We had all the documentation on what they were proposing for torture over 13 years ago.
Stay there, Mark. Everybody's got to go to InfoWars.com to hear the behind the scenes with Mark. For everybody else, we'll be right back. Thank you all for tuning in. Mark, continue with the torture. Yes, you covered torture when it was on all their manuals, being prepared as a form of terror. People couldn't believe it. Now it's everywhere. Tell us about it.
And not only that, it's right in your face. So again, here's the thing is we already knew because it came from military personnel, it came from law enforcement, it came from peace officers around the country who were becoming thoroughly disgusted with what they saw. And this is just one example of where you go from behind the scenes, out of the shadows, and it creeps like a goo into the public eye. The Founding Fathers warned everybody about this. We had, for instance, and this is another thing people aren't thinking about this, but this is coming, Alex. Writs of attainder. Writs of attainder. There shall be no writs of attainder. A writ of attainder is where if I can't get Alex, I grab his wife and his kids and his mom and his dad, and I dig up even his old relatives, and I torture or I abuse them.
They've been doing that in Iraq. They advertise that they torture your children until you come turn yourself in.
Exactly. And this is an indirect violation of the premise, the whole core and foundation of our process, the way we of the West would operate traditionally, and the antithesis of our form of government and our psyche.
Well, it's pure evil. I mean, whoever does that is the dark side, is the enemy.
Exactly. And that's one of the things here that's interesting is that, again, for people who are wondering about that, get yourself a pocket constitution. You can get them from a number of different sources, Witten printers, but citizens' rule books. You will find a copy of the Constitution. You will find in it that there shall be no writs of attainder. This is where, again, it's also the term was corruption of the blood. In other words, even if Alex did something 10 years ago, we're going to blame his sons, his daughters, his granddaughters, and everybody will be charged with the same crime.
They can't punish your family house for what you've individually done.
That's right. And again, this is part of the whole concept of Western jurisprudence, developed in England, perfected in the United States, and brought forward.
That's right. In fact, if you rebelled against the king, they would come and clap your whole family in irons. But the Magna Carta, which was hard, you know, that was paid for in blood. 1215 at Runnymede said no.
Exactly. And tied into that is what happened here. We fought a war for independence, which took us to the next step, scraping the table off and breaking all of the chains. This is critical to the overall concept of American justice in that it's also critical to the enemy occupying and destroying our system.
And I want to point this out, Mark. We stand on the shoulders of the British people who did fight against that, and then now we stand on the shoulders of 1776. It's all part of a continual stream. We are all connected to each other, and I do want to point out that it was almost 50% in the Parliament against attacking the colonies, but the king came in and demanded that they vote for war. So we also had friends in England.
There were people there who understood fully what was wrong about what was being done. In fact, even let's go one step further.
Well, here we go, Mark. Tell everybody about it right now. Here we go. Writs of attainder. Recap that, Mark, and then bring us up to where we are today.
And, you know, one of the most important things here, years ago, the king could take the whole family. He could grab the wife, he could grab the kids, but he could grab the grandma and grandpa. And when I said digging up bodies, that's not an exaggeration, people. One of the things was desecration of graves. Much in the same way that you would draw and quarter a person and take their body parts and, you know, put the skulls on the Bridge of London, on London Bridge, and then take the body parts and spread them all over the countryside. They would do this also with family members' remains.
In fact, Cromwell had the king dug up and cut up, and then I believe he was dug up too and beheaded.
And another example is, remember, even for people who are wondering about this, even in the movie Braveheart, you see an example, remember, where he had to go, they desecrated the graves of his brother and his father. And so he went and dug up the grave of his wife and moved her body so she could not be desecrated by the enemy. Think about that. This is stuff that sounds so bizarre, but it is the nature of your enemy.
Well, Prima Noctu, is also in there where they would demand, you know, with your virgin wife on the honeymoon, they would try to impregnate her, quote, breed them out. And then they would even pick people that were their, you know, unofficial sons and give them power to be go-betweens with the local slave class.
Exactly. And again, people are going, well, that's back then, really? Let's put it, there's a whole issue here. And we need to spend a couple of days on all the networks talking about the straw man, because the straw man is where Americans have been put back into bondage. And it's the admiralty law of our enemies who are the bar members, the British Accredited Registry. The British Accredited Regency. These creatures of the bar are royalists who have come back in to rebond, reindenture the American people. We are no different in the battlefield today as we were in 1775, and they are using the Declaration of Independence as a checklist to go step by step. Now, real quick here, we have a number of different manuals, and I want to make sure we get this out. If you want to find out more information, you can go to PBN, P.O. Box 194. Dexter, Michigan, 48130. Again, that's PBN, P.O. Box 194. Dexter, that's D-E-X-T-E-R, Michigan, 48130. And send us SASE if you want to. Or, now here's a list, because I want to make sure I get this out, Alex, a couple times today. Number one, we have PM 8-94, How to Start and Train a Militia Unit. This is a single PM manual, part of the several manuals that are the latest family going out all over the country to all of our new people. And it's PM 8-94, How to Start and Train a Militia. Cost is $5 plus 6 stamps. Now, you send 6 stamps, like, because the postage varies all over the country. It's a patchwork quilt. Anyway, $5 plus 6 stamps. Covers the cost, keeps the lights on, allows the printing presses to continue to run. Number two is PM 10. We're going to simplify this. PM 10. It's Militia Standard Operating Procedure, SOP. Cost is $7 for this manual, plus 6 stamps in shipping. Again, that's the Militia SOP. It's PM 10. That is $7 plus 6 regular stamps. Now, you can send check or money order to Nancy. Last name, K-O-E-R-N-K-E. That's who the check or money order is made out to, Nancy, K-O-E-R-N-K-E. And the address is PBN, P.O. Box 194, Dexter, Michigan, 48130. Now, this is a part of a family of manuals, and we will be sending updates on this. The printer is doing an excellent job. She has done some phenomenal work. I'm very happy with it. I'm going to point out that a lot of the artwork that you see has all been done by people in the Patriot effort.
Mark, tell folks about your new book, The First in the Battle for the Republic series.
There are three books that are out. The one printer is, we're having a heck of a time because the original went out to the printer, another printer out west. But Battle for the Republic, it's the second book series I've written. The first is The Dagger Wars. There are 12 books. We've gone through 3 printings. It's for militia command training. We are going to publicly release this probably by the end of the year because it's been in private circulation for 3 years now. That's The Dagger War. It's 12 books. Battle for the Republic begins where The Dagger War ends. And Battle for the Republic, Book 1, The Dance of Swords, is basically the how it starts. The present book that is most recently in printing is Battle for the Republic, The Winter War. Cost is $25. These are signed copy editions. Anybody who wants a copy, again, use the PBN, P.O. Box 194, Dexter, Michigan, 48130 address. And it's Battle for the Republic, The Winter War, that printing. The latest one is out right now. We just got the latest boxes from the printer. It's not just a storyline. This is a how-to. The objective, one of the reasons I want to do is explain the psyche, explain the experience, try to give you a taste. And I'm not going to ruin the read for you, but there's something I'll say about this when we come on the air some other time later, Alex. I want more people to read it, and we do want input. I want people to respond, because I know that many thousands of this book are already out. Battle for the Republic, The Winter War. It's $25. If you're going to have it signed, the only thing I ask is print out the name you want it signed to so that I can read it, so I can make sure I script it properly for you. That's up to you. You don't have to send a name, and you don't have to have it signed.
Mark, before you leave us in the next 25 minutes or so, there's a few things. My uncle last week, when you were on with us, he wanted to know, just in a nutshell, how you dealt with 7 years of false incarceration and came out even stronger and more eloquent, not even near broken. In fact, energized. But before we do that, people misinterpret what I'm about to say because they love to. But you understand it. You've dealt with it. You've lived it. So I want to bring this up to you. I don't want to sit here and tell people, go join the militia so that they go fall into the hands of feds trying to provocateur. Here's an example. We were talking about Israelis in the news yesterday. I learned of it as it was ending. We're here in town, and they're taking hundreds of Austin cops back to brainwash them about how to set up a police state here. We've got an Israeli intelligence running around killing people in Austin. There's no doubt of that. I mean, it's just open messages to everybody. And Aaron goes, who just got out of UT 2.5 years ago. He's been here ever since. He's like, oh, my God, I remember when I was just part of an anti-war group, I come walking out on the street, and this guy runs up and goes, I'm an Israeli. I'm anti-war, but don't think the government doesn't know who you are. Let's attack George Bush. And he just said, get the hell away from me, but then saw the guy at other meetings trying to stir stuff up. Of course, I mean, they're trying to create fake groups or get idiots to go out and, you know, do something violent. So this is happening. So
the question is how to organize.
Well, let me just stop you, Marcus. I want to put this out for people. The BATF back in 1994 wanted to demonize, and of course Mark knows this, but for the audience, wanted to demonize militias. So they went and found a methamphetamine cooking Hell's Angels subgroup called the Vipers. In Arizona. Total idiots. And the guy gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars in drugs. And then he just said, let's just call ourselves a militia. I'll give you money. We'll dress up in uniforms and joke around. And then they busted him and said, guns, drugs, Viper militia. And so I want to be clear to people. A militia person wears a suit and goes down and speaks at city council. They're also ready to defend their country from enemies foreign and domestic. They're ready to help in floods or fires or emergencies. We don't creep around and hide in the bushes, but people also do covertly have other subgroups and cells that train in case we were ever invaded, say, by the Russians. And so anybody that tells you to creep around and let's do something illegal or let's go burn down the sheriff's department, that is a Fed. That is an informant. That is someone who wants to send you to prison. So, Mark, I think if we're inviting people to form militias, which is as American as mom and apple pie and more so than baseball, came before the flag, before apple pie, before baseball, let's explain to them how to not be infiltrated.
Absolutely. First of all, most important is if you want to know who you can trust, think about your family. The bottom line is this, that we're looking at a one man, you know, the individual can train by himself effectively, first of all, and can join as needed as things develop.
That is the unstoppable force, the individual.
That is the unstoppable force. Go in the mirror and take a look in the mirror. There's the person who's going to stop this thing from happening times the millions upon millions of people who are listening. Number two is, remember, five-man fire team. Well, guess what? You're talking about home defense. You're talking about protecting a retreat. You're talking about defending your community. Well, look at your friends and family that you've known for either all your life or for, say, 20 and 30 years. Is there any doubt what that person's been doing? Well, that's the person you want to turn to and you want to work with. And all of you listening, some of you are going, well, I don't know. Well, you better start working on educating as many people as you can. And that's where all the database comes in that we've provided through the Patriot effort.
And by the way, this isn't even military at some levels. This is just your cousin, your brother, your neighbor, your war buddies. This is going out and getting 10 acres, 20, 30 acres together, starting gardens, hanging out. You know, it's fun to get together in tribal units of mutual defense. And you all need your own armored keeps. Go ahead.
That's right. And by the way, this is biblical. If you go into the Old Testament, even with regard to Moses and how he moved the people, there was a point where his father-in-law came in and said, you're exhausting yourself. I'm abbreviating this. He said, you're exhausting yourself. And he goes, yeah, well, you're trying to do everything. You're trying to micromanage everything. You can't do this. You have to assign and you have to work with smaller increments of people. And this is why the people will be divided. And that's where you see the whole numerical issue come forward about how best to govern the people and how to operate. Well, the same is true with militia formations. You get too big, you're too wild. Basically, it's the same thing with the military. They don't have these blob formations. They work with specific increments, and here's the kicker. Nobody realizes that they get their information from biblical guidelines. Oh, heaven forbid. Oh, the communists are all putting their hands over the ears and shrieking away from the radio on that one. Well, of course they are. The socialists are, too. Oh, don't say that. But the bottom line is that the concept of how best to manage a group of people or groups of people was laid down in the Old Testament nigh on how many thousand years ago? Uh-oh. Yeah,
that's in,
right.
That's in Leviticus, isn't it?
You can go right through Leviticus, Numbers. Also, again, almost all of the Old Testament reinforces it over and over again. In fact, sometimes, this is what's interesting, if you go through some of the text, you know, different books, it's reinforced three times over. Now, there's a rule there. Remember, anytime that it's biblically reinforced like that, it is most important. So it will actually be reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. And I do this sometimes, not jokingly, but not jokingly on the air. When I repeat something three times, it's, again, to show that it's doctrinally, you're reinforcing it systematically. Most important here is, again, you can work with your brother, your cousin, your uncle, dad. Okay, dad's working with his sons. His sons work with their with his grandsons. You know these people. There is no doubt. Now, again, you're training as individuals. Let me give you some real quick hints here. Get airsoft. Why should you get airsoft? I'm abbreviating because we only got so much time. Airsoft is cheap. You can go to centerfiresystems.com, buy an Airsoft 45 for $6.95. It does everything a 45 does when it comes to operation, even drops a magazine. You can fire indoors all day, absolutely quietly, and practice at marksmanship, not piddle around and just popping the curtains. You can actually lay out a range and have a copy of an AR-15, a copy of a H&K pistol, a copy of a Smith pistol, a copy of a 45. And with airsoft and with little targets, you can actually practice all of the basic skills.
Well, take BB guns.
And over and over again.
Take BB guns. I haven't had time the last really 10 years to shoot every week, every day like I did growing up. But I was trained, you know, all the guys are old World War II vets. This is almost, people freak out when they say this, but I was shooting 410s when I was four. And I remember taking me out.
Everybody I know was.
Yeah, people don't believe that, though, who don't know gun culture. And that goes back hundreds of years in our frontier training. And the shotgun was put in my hands. I was taught basic safety. And I would shoot coffee cans at close range just to get me used to the fire, the recoil, and not be afraid of it. This was all systematic. Then you're given a BB gun. You're always watched when you're little when you have it. You're taught how to shoot it, how to aim it. Then you're given a .22 when you're six. Then a shotgun. And then by the time I was like 12 years old, I could shoot to the same hole at 200 yards with a .243 with just a $100 sight. Now I can't do that. But
if you can within a quarter inch group, guess what, Alex? You'll have any AK-74, M4, or any rifle.
But I mean, that's my point, though, is with that basic training I was given, I had no idea I was being given the training that made Davy Crockett and made the people at the Alamo and everything else. But that's what America was, and that's why when we went to war, it was so powerful. Now we're losing those skills, is what I'm saying.
Well, now here's the thing. Airsoft, one of the advantages, and I'm focusing everybody on this for a reason. Airsoft is a few dollars for the simplest models. Don't go buy the most expensive unless you already got them. Don't worry about it. You can get a copy of the AR-15 that does everything the AR-15 does. Here's the advantage. I can take five of those rifles. I can put five people in on a little range in the basement. I can teach them basic pistol and rifle marksmanship without any fear of anybody being injured. I will teach them to the point where it becomes second nature. The next tier is to take them to a conventional range, saving ammunition by wasting most of my time where I would be consuming ammo, teaching people basic pistol craft.
And by the way, folks, this isn't about the bravado and uniforms and outfits. It's just quiet, serious, happy, hidden in plain view, gearing up to defend your families from the aggravated felons the police and military are hiring en masse.
Oh, and by the way, I think we should be very proud, though, of the fact that we are all in the militia. In fact, everybody trying to, we don't have to apologize.
No, I'm not saying be quiet with everybody else. I mean, you know what I mean, not waving guns around acting foolish, because we've seen a lot of that.
Just the reverse. That's the whole idea behind progressive training. This is the whole point. When you teach a person to use the weapon on the range, focus is the key. Everything becomes center. The target weapon becomes the control device. And the target becomes the center of the universe, and everything is focused upon that, and it requires one key word, discipline. Tied in with that is responsibility. Most people don't want to be responsible. They want to be two-year-old children sucking on something constantly, staring at a boob tube, and having somebody else run everything they do. we're not going to be two-year-olds.
And I think militia training also should start with people going out and hiking up, 10-mile hikes up hillsides.
This is where, again, step one is we're teaching basic rifle marksmanship. People get a chance to get out and get physically active. We get into the weapons phase. We now have basic training with and are familiar with the form, feel, and basic operation of the weapon we're going to graduate to. Now, even if you don't have those weapons, here's another advantage. You now have familiarity with an arm that you may capture or acquire in the future. One of the other reasons that even though people say, well, they're just toys, those airsoft is such a cheap, vastly advanced training aid that you couldn't go out and build if you wanted to do it.
Well, that's how I'm already training my 4-year-old daughter, my 5-year-old son, is that you just give them the little plastic, safer dart guns, the airsoft you're talking about, and they're in the house shooting targets all day and don't even know they're being trained for firearm use.
And that's right. And you can do it all day without anybody knowing. Now, step two is, again, equipment and gear. Remember to tailor the equipment that you're – somebody's going to go, I need an assault vest. I need to have what they're using in Iraq. What they're using in Iraq is not effective for most of the terrain or battlefield of the United States. Hate to tell you guys. Most of the junk that's being used over there is specifically engineered for the battlefields of the desert and for a specific and unique environmental condition. Deserts are just like tropical rainforests. They're very specialized. We live in a temperate environment, so your equipment has to be tailored and engineered, plus camouflaged to meet the needs of the battlefield that you're looking at right now, that you're living in. Now, Texas has some tan.
Well, that means you're wearing, if it's in the city, you're wearing a T-shirt with a jacket that's got all the pockets you need, ready to be slipped right over, and pants so you blend in. That's what I forgot about a lot of the mainline militias running around the city in camo and commander outfits. The militia needs to be able to be covert or overt, whatever it needs to be. Mark, let's talk behind scenes about that. Again, Mark, for the web, this will all be up. It's live right now, but it's also going to be posted on YouTube and PrisonPlanet.tv. All the members are watching right now. Mark, but I know you don't like to get into this, but we need to specifically, so people don't get burned out there. You know, they have these federal traps waiting for people where you get to the militia meeting and it's led by a Fed, as you know, about a third of them are, and they say, let's go do violent things. Let's get ready with pipe bombs. Then everybody goes to prison. We're doing legal, lawful, above board training, really civil defense to defend against tyranny, to prepare, to protect our country. What are the telltale signs to look out for? I mean, the things I just said.
Exactly. Actually, well, let's put it this way. Let's lay the criteria down for arms. I want the longest barrel I can get so I can reach and hit him so far out they never know where the bullet came from. So never cut a barrel down. Okay, rule number one, no short weapons. I don't need them. I want to hit my enemy at maximum range. I'm getting older. I can't run as fast, okay? Shotguns, for instance, that was one of the things. Remember, they've always tried to entice people with shortening shotguns. You don't need a short shotgun, people. I want a medium-length barrel, and I want to put a big, long magazine underneath it, and I want to keep a standard stock on it. I don't even need a folding stock. I want to be able to hit the target farther out. Now, as far as explosive devices, none of the above. You don't need any. Period. You know why? When I plug the bugger on the other side, he's carrying 40-millimeter grenades. He's carrying grenades and pyrotechnics. I'm going to strip off his carcass. I'm going to strip him bare butt naked. I'm going to let the dogs chew on what's left of him. That's how it's going to work. So I don't need to create, and don't let it, and as far as people going, well, we need this and that. Now, you can understand how to use them, and one of the...
But I want to explain what feds do. They'll be looking at you like they're on a rabbit hunt. They will be trying to get people to do things illegal in the first 5 minutes, and I want people to understand you do not want to get into their traps, and I'm just trying to explain that to listeners.
One of the ways to save that is, again, keep the unit at the... fire team and squad. Make sure it's people that all people you know. If you put the senior man who has had the most experience, obviously will gravitate to the position of authority. If dad's been in World War II or been in Korea or Vietnam, he's probably seen a little dying and death. So maybe it'd be good to listen to the guy who's already bled a bit. Okay, now, if none of you have combat experience, that's fine. The first rule is, do you know each other? Now, common sense is KISS, keep it simple, stupid. You do not need any special super, wonder toys or special weapon systems or nuclear devices. We're not looking for anything other than conventional infantry arms, conventional handguns, nothing modified.
And again, even if you're ever disarmed, a knife and will is everything you need to get whatever you need.
If I have to start with a club or a knife, that's where I go. But the whole point is my old martial arts instructor said, when he said, well, name for me a martial art. People said boxing, taekwondo, whatever. And this was survival and escape evasion. He goes, what about a knife? What about a stick? And he goes, then what about a gun? And everybody went, oh, my martial arts instructor is mentioning a gun. He goes, yeah, because all of the other techniques, and one of the next thing he said is, if I'm using my hands and I'm a soldier, I've done something wrong.
All right, here we go, Mark. Back to the full audience. All right, the government is hiring aggravated felons and illegal alien aggravated felons, mashing them against us, openly training to murder us and put us into camps en masse and forcibly inject us and nerve gas our cities. And the founding fathers said the militia is to defend against the criminal government. That was in the Supreme Court brief last month, and against common street thugs. So we're here talking about what is the law, what America is. If you're against the militia, as a lot of Mark says, pot-licking neocons are, you're against the republic. Mark, we got this segment and one more. You're going over people forming up into just civil defense groups. That's what the militia is. We didn't even have the National Guard until 1906. And preparing. And a lot of that means finding a place with a water well, you know, having storable food, and just being ready to defend your family is really what this comes down to. Or you can go to the camp and let the foreign troops put you in a mass grave. And I guess that's what a lot of you are going to do. Mark Hornke.
Well, another thing here real quick is if you're interested, search Mark, last name K-O-E-R-N-K-E. Look for videos. You'll find Equipping for the New World Order Part 1 and 2 on YouTube and in other places where other people have posted and want to say thank you because it's publicly available. That gives you basic information. You've got goofs that are going to comment back and forth. The bottom line is this. A lot of people have never been in uniform or never used equipment before. This was designed to give you ideas. You run with the ball. When it comes to what you need to get the job done, you're going to have to figure out what fits your wallet combined with what it is that ergonomically works with your age group, which is something I address. You've got very young people. If your children were separated from you and you've got them dancing around in circles with nothing on, when they get separated, if they get separated from you, you'd be gnashing of teeth and running of hair and whatever, okay? Instead, you put a 72-hour kit together that fits that child and is on their back. It has to be user-friendly. If something happens and they get separated, you're going to have to instruct them on what to do or how to deal with this, even if they're a small child.
Well, everybody now, when especially most of us live in these urban centers, you need to have a place where you meet your wife and children, especially if they're older children. And then if that place doesn't work, a backup secondary place. And if I don't meet you here in an hour, I'll meet you here in 24 hours or here in 3 days.
Progressive evacuation to move away from the epicenter of the threat. And that threat can be government trying to create a police state.
Now remember, we have a rogue government that blew up buildings on 9/11. They're not playing games. They're not nice, and they're not going away.
So focus on moving away from the objective. Again, one of the things I did, go to YouTube and punch in Equipping for the New World Order Part 1 and 2. You'll find them posted there. If you want a nice copy, a brand new copy on DVD, we got them here. You can make as many copies as you want. Equipping for the New World Order, Part 1 and Part 2, and there's going to be a Part 3 very soon. But Equipping 1 and 2, again, go to PBN, P.O. Box 194, Dexter, Michigan, 48130, and $25 for the set of DVDs. Make copies. The only thing I ask is make copies in their entirety so people get all the information.
But, Mark, more importantly, give out the website. That's how a lot of listeners, 75% of our listeners are on the web. Give out the website where people can find that.
If you want to go to all of our links, go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com. That's libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and then go to the video links. Real quick there on that YouTube, if you go to our YouTube site, please, everybody listening, take the time and do this. We just posted the latest sub-equipping video. It's the latest one. It'll be on our page. Go to YouTube and then go to Liberty Tree Radio. The latest one is on rations, and the idea is you can improvise from 1,000 directions, people. Somebody says, I only have $5 to work with it a week. You give me that $5, and I'm going to be looking like a woodchuck with
all right,
what I
stay
got
there, Mark. Mark, final segment. I want to come back and talk about your time in prison and how you psychologically dealt with being set up and then being put in there and came out stronger on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Battle for the Republic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at TruthNews.us and PrisonPlanet.com. When you visit PrisonPlanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at PrisonPlanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know, my friends, we didn't start this fight. We didn't ask for this. We didn't draw first blood and second blood and third blood and a million bloods. Pedophile rings are kidnapping children all over the country. That's who the CPS is. It's all over the Texas news. The Youth Commission just mass rapes of children, publicly prostituting kidnapped children out. Florida run by pedophiles. Michigan, it's just hell on earth. A million dead Iraqis, 3 million dead in the last 18 years. By the globalist hands, our military totally being turned into brainwashed demons. Those that want to stay in, others just mentally breaking down and coming home and committing suicide. It's horrible. Don't commit suicide. Join us. Join the rebellion against tyranny, which is obedience to God, and you will no longer feel bad about yourself. You will have a mission, and it's empowering. You will have courage again. Mark Kornkey was run off the road, set up. They tried to set him up for a bank robbery. He had no criminal record. You know, his dad, the sheriff's department, whole family, great folks in his area of Michigan, and they ran him off the road, very mad at him. Bill Clinton's personally attacked him and others. It's all on squad car video. I aired it on Local Access here in Austin. They sent it to me, and he wanted to get his son out because they told him they were going to kill him, and he got his son out of the car and then sped off, sped off to get his son out of the car when they got behind him. The cops on the radio saying, but he didn't rob the bank. Why are we doing this? And they say, go to cell phone, and then, it was a big setup. So we have all the squad car footage. They run him off the road, then charge him with assaulting police with a deadly weapon, railroaded 7 years in prison. And Mark, in the 3 minutes we've got left, how did you psychologically, do it? I know what you did. You made it a war on the inside to wake up those prisons. But explain that to people.
Real quick, from the movie you just had the music from, Starship Trooper, the line where the commanders are heading towards the planet. Remember your training and you will come back alive. Rule number one, I did have a lot of good instructors in survival, escape, and evasion. One of the classes I had, one of many classes by men who had just come out of detention camps and concentration camps, were Vietnam POWs and Korean War POWs. That helped a great deal. My belief in our Lord Jesus Christ and the strength that he gave me is key and critical to the process. Those people that you're worried about are saying, oh, I'm going to commit suicide. Shame on you. God gave you a great life. You take advantage of that life. You bite the hind end of the other side. You kick them in the slats. And when you're done, we end up free. We end up enjoying our liberty. That was a key to this whole thing. You know what prison's like? It's like being at the Albuquerque bus terminal. You know what? The Albuquerque bus terminal is the most impersonal big airport type place you ever seen. People coming and going. You don't know them. Some are goofs. Some are nutcases. You know what? You focus on the idea. You're going on another bus and going somewhere else. That's the key to this whole thing. The enemy wants us to, they want to paw at our time. They want to paw at our lives. They're like parasites. They are parasites. You know what? If you all get tired of them and you kick them in the slats and drive their hind end out of this country, you will be amazed. And you know what? The first time that we have to pull the trigger and everybody goes, oh, I'm going to say, oh, shut up. When the time comes, you will find such an uplifting weight that just sheds from you because it is time. That you will find out real quick what liberty is all about and what life and liberty is all about.
Well, I know this, Mark. I remember growing up in Dallas and, having three or four guys corner me and start beating the hell out of me. And the feeling of just fighting back and being cornered and being in the right, when you start slugging them and they start falling, it's an uplifting feeling. If you'll just fight back, you're going to win.
The other side expects you to lay down. You know what they want? They want a cheap victory. Remember, the basic rule of Sun Tzu is convince the enemy it's futile to resist before the first arrow has left the first bow. And that's what they're doing right now. Guess what? The other side, they die just like everyone else. You know what? I've got a basic rule. It's in fact, Battle for the Republic, the Winter War. I wrote the book series so that you could understand from the mental experience, the physical and the mental experience, from all the different directions that can be imagined, okay? And the purpose behind this is to understand that it is not futile to resist. Just the reverse. The only people that are saying that are the jackasses on the other side who want to rape, kill, pillage, and burn this country. And as soon as we kick them in the slats, we can all go home and enjoy ourselves.
Mark Kornke.
The problem is this. We're already home, Alex. We're here.
That's it, Mark. And we don't have a choice. They've got us cornered. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon. Take care, Mark.
Thank you, Alex. God bless.
Folks, my website's InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Also check out PrisonPlanet.tv. Dennis Kucinich is straight ahead, as well as St. John Hunt. Stay with us. The final hour is jam-packed.
High fuel prices for gasoline and diesel are taking a huge bite out of budgets for individuals and businesses. But there is something you can do. Fuel Saver Incorporated's Fuel Enhancer formula will not only stretch each gallon of fuel further for mere pennies per treated gallon, but also cleans fuel injectors, pumps, and...
Hey, Alex.
...typically ranges from 8 to 20% or more, saving you 30 to 80 cents on each gallon of fuel at the pump. Now there's a boost for your budget. Fuel Saver Incorporated's product is completely safe for your vehicle, gas or diesel. In fact, the product is currently in use in motorcycles, cars, trucks, buses, RVs, boats, ships, and locomotives. Go to FuelSaverInc.com today. That's FuelSaverInc.com. Or call toll-free 866-768-7811. Call now, 866-768-7811. Or go to FuelSaverInc.com. Fuel Saver Fuel Enhancer. Start saving on fuel today.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Caliban Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Caliban Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Caliban Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Caliban Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now.
Hey, let me talk to St. John.
Again, that number, 1-800.
All right, 1 second here.
And provided products for health institutions. Now, Caliban Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Caliban Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero, and we knew what to do. Or at least we thought we did.
Truth Rising is a breakthrough 9/11 film that finally gives first responders a platform to tell their story.
Whitman, EPA director, on the 18th made a statement that the air was safe to breathe.
This film follows the growing momentum of 9/11 Truth as brave souls throughout the world take action.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
This is it, the last-ditch defense of the Republic before it goes into the hot zone war. They want to bag this country and run a Nazi-slash-Soviet extermination op. Every top expert we have on agrees. Former White House CIA advisors, historians, Nobel Prize winners. The black op is upon us. They really plan on gutting it all and going for broke and killing the country once and for all. They try to wrap all their criminal agendas in the American flag, but they're being defeated. The true patriots are rising to the occasion in the final last ditch. That means the last ditch in our defenses. The Alamo here as the New World Order comes up over the parapets. We're joined for the next 40 minutes. Then Dennis Kucinich scheduled. We're going to be calling him to talk about impeachment. We had Willie Nelson in a barn-burning interview in the first hour. That's why I've abbreviated some of the guests today, because I said I'd call him last week to get him on to call for impeachment, and I just didn't get around to calling him. So I called him this morning, and he goes, let's do it right now. So we had him on. And then I didn't want to ask him about doing some big 9/11 truth movement thing, because kind of at a subconscious level, I don't want the work or the craziness or people wanting to be involved and all the nuttiness of it. So I didn't ever ask him. The caller asked him, he says, sure, I'll do it. And then I asked him off air, and he said he wants me to basically organize it and run it. I said, do you want to organize it and run it? He goes, oh, Alex, you tell me and call me tomorrow what you want to do. But I he's the expert. I'll talk to him. We'll know something in the next few days. I want to gently catch a monkey. I don't want to run, you know, this into the ground, or people don't bug Nelson or besiege him or try to hijack what we're doing here and then kill the whole golden goose. This is really going to be great for the 9/11 truth. A lot of media attention. Also, it's going to be about impeachment and not having an Iran war. So very, very exciting. And this could be huge. This could absolutely be huge. I think it's going to be mega huge. In fact, I'm giddy right now. I am very excited. going to St. John Hunt, who I'm also excited about. You know, it'll probably be out early next year, middle of next year, because I'm going to take my time making it. The tentative title is Black Sunshine. And why? Because it was a broad, you know, Main Street sunny day that had happened, but it was a dark light of the New World Order that carried out the killing. So darkness on that, you know, that bright winter day. So Black Sunshine is the poetic term that I've come up with. It may be named something else, but we've got some more interviews to do. It's Cinema Verite, no voiceover. Jim Mars is in it, a bunch of other people. But central to it is St. John Hunt, son of E. Howard Hunt. When you see Mission Impossible, Ethan Hunt, that character is named after his father, CIA section chief, black op commander, overthrew a bunch of countries. We knew he was photographed as being one of the tramps. We knew he was involved always. And then before he died, he admitted on video and on audio that he indeed had been involved in management of the hit against JFK. And he's got his new ebook out. It was too hot for any of the publishers to handle, though he may put it in book form, paper book form soon. I hope he does. But he has his new book out with a lot of incredible stuff, stuff that's never been covered before, in his new book. And we'll tell you how to get that today at his website, the ebook. St. John Hunt, great to have you on. It's quite a hot radio show today, and we're glad to have you added into the mix.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. It's great to be back on. And I remember what a great time we had down in Dallas you know, working hard to uncover the truth and bring it to the American people and to the world in general is what you're here for, brother. So I'm glad to be on your show again.
Absolutely. St. John, for those that haven't heard you the few times you've been here or on Coast to Coast AM and a few others, or Rolling Stone that broke it all a year ago or so, why don't you break down who you are, your dad, and then go through the basics and then tell us about the book and some of the things that people never heard before on the radio?
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, my father is E. Howard Hunt. He passed away January 2007, and it's long been he's been a suspect for many, many years that he had some involvement in the JFK assassination. Now, everybody knows E. Howard Hunt as being the co-conspirator, the organizer of the Watergate break-in under President Nixon. He worked as one of the plumbers, which was Nixon's secret black ops team with Gordon Liddy. They went around the country breaking and entering, firebombing, and all manner of of illegal activities. Earlier in his career, my father had been chief of psychological warfare during the Guatemalan overthrow in 1954 of our Benz, and later on in the early 60s, he had handpicked the members of the new presidential government for the Bay of Pigs. He was involved in the Bay of Pigs, which was a failed operation to overthrow Castro. illegally, of course. This is just one of the many CIA secret operations that the American public was not privy to, contrary to our Constitution, which allows for us to be in control of this agency. In fact, we're not in control of this agency. And later on, at a very advanced stage, my father confessed to me of his knowledge and his role in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Now, the things that he told me, I got an article that came out in Rolling Stone magazine. That's how the story broke. And then, Alex, you were one of the first, I think the first radio station to break this, nationwide, after the Rolling Stone story came out in April, 2007. And, basically what my father told me was that, he was a bench warmer in a group of contract CIA agents, Cuban expatriates that were working under the protection of the CIA and of President Johnson and of the FBI to assassinate President Kennedy, because he was viewed as soft on communism. He was viewed as being a danger to the true and secret desires of the military-industrial complex way back in 1963. So what's important about this this little window of history here is that this, I believe, was the first stab at the American Constitution, and the first time that the secret government really had stepped in and taken control of this country in a well carried out coup d'etat, which my father was a part of. In my book that, as you mentioned, has just come out as an ebook on my website, stjohnhunt.com, I supply all the handwritten memos and the photographs and the notes that my father wrote to me on his deathbed in Miami, Florida, when I flew down there and he confessed his knowledge and his involvement in the assassination of President Kennedy. So the reason this is important is because we all have to understand that this kind of stuff has been going on a long time. It's going on today, even bigger and worse than ever. And it's thank God we have people like you, Alex, to bring out the truth. And this is this book has been shopped at the to various publishers on the East Coast of New York, and people are just scared to take this on. But so I've went ahead and published it as an ebook, which you can get on my website, stjohnhunt.com.
Well, continue. I mean, break down some of the things that are covered, in the book, and I mean, because this is amazing information. You would think that the mainstream publishers would want to publish it. It's a very well-written book. I've read it. A lot of other people did look at it. The publishers are scared. I mean, this is smoking gun, handwritten notes, documents. I mean, this is really the key, one of the biggest smoking guns ever. There's been others. This is kind of the coup de grace, and no, they won't touch it because they've got so much hinging on the myth and selling the myth that they told the truth about the JFK killing being a lone assassin. I'm surprised they didn't say the Tooth Fairy did it, or that Kennedy bumped his head on the side of a car like they said Bhutto did when there's video of her being shot in Pakistan. I mean, they feed us even bigger lies, but this is one of the big ones, one of the big icons, if not the biggest, just as big as 9/11 in the psyche. So if that falls, so many of the other dominoes fall.
Yeah, this was really the first... one of the biggest lies that was fostered upon the American public. And of course, the mindset back in 1963 was, we were still a country whose citizens were rather innocent to this kind of internal intrigue. And it was just so natural for the New World Order government, which I believe started back then, to step in and take control by assassinating President Kennedy and then putting in Lyndon Johnson. My father, I have in my book the detailed conversations that I had with my father. I have photographs of the conspirators. It's not a long book. It's 131 pages, but it's got a bounty of memorandums and handwritten notes, the photographs of the conspirators. I have some personal family photographs in there of my father and myself and our family at different times of our lives. But, and it's also a very personal memoir about my relationship with my father and about my lifelong struggle to find the truth of my father. Because starting in 1971, 1972, when Watergate broke and my father was arrested for his role, he served 33 and a half months in federal penitentiary for his involvement as one of the co-conspirators in the Watergate break-in, as well as all the other things he'd done illegally for President Nixon at the time. It was just shortly after that I saw a poster on a telephone pole in Oakland, California, where I was living at the time, with a picture of one of the tramps. Now, the tramps, for those of you who don't know, were three supposed hobos that were arrested within minutes after the assassination there in Dallas. They were behind a parking lot and a picket fence in a railroad yard, and they were discovered there, and then they were paraded through downtown Dealey Plaza and taken, booked, and then released, and all their records of their bookings were somehow lost or destroyed for the next 40 years.
All right, St. John Hunt, we got to go to break. We'll be right back, and we will get into more detail on the key info that you are covering.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power, a gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Once, America was led by real politicians. Now politicians in the U.S., city, county, state, and federal, are owned and controlled by corporations. We have corporate representatives instead of politicians. Criminal corporate manipulation has caused grain prices to soar to the highest levels in history. Shortages of rice, corn, and wheat now exist in most countries. Natural disasters have put millions worldwide at risk of starvation. Food riots and bread lines occur daily in 30 nations, and not only is that list growing, but it's headed this way. Survival Enterprises are master distributors of the highest quality long-term storage food. Mountain House freeze-dried foods, canned beef, chicken, turkey, butter, bacon, spices, cheese, fruit, and more. We have tons of food in stock now. Call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us, where you'll find what you'll need to keep you and your loved ones secure. And remember, those without food will be servants of those with the food. Call now.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and it's designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF dual media shower filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
St. John Hunt is our guest. Who would have ever thought that after the death of E. Howard Hunt, talk about an incredible past, swashbuckling, intrigue, black operations, overthrowing governments, and yes, honchoing the assassination of John F. Kennedy, his son now with audio, video, all of it, releasing a book right now at his website. St. John, again, tell people how they can get the book.
Well, they can go to my website, which is stjohnhunt.com, and that's spelled out S-A-I-N-T-J-O-H-N-H-U-N-T, stjohnhunt.com, and there'll be a prompt there to click to order the book. The book's only $12.95, and I guarantee anybody that gets this book is going to be just thrilled with the information I'm providing.
And by the way, I need to send some people, when we get the time, out to interview you. Another interview for the film we've decided, showing where they tried to run you off the road and where they broke into your place to try to steal notes. I mean, you've gone through a lot. You know, the fact of that even shows more evidence of how real this is, all the things that have happened to you in the process.
Yes, just after I came out with this information, or it, when I was in the early stages of processing this information, and I was making phone calls to Eric, my friend Eric Hedegaard from Rolling Stone magazine. My house got broken into. Nothing of any value was stolen. I have TVs, DVD players, CDs, money and things. That was all left alone. And what they went through was all my files in my office. All my paperwork had been gone through, and the files were just strewn all over the room. The break-in looked like a professional job because there was no broken windows, there was no damage to any of the door jams. It was, to me, obviously a very well planned and carried out break-in by people that do this kind of thing all the time. Later, a few days after that, I was run off the road on a very lonely stretch of coastal road near Eureka, California, a road called Samoa Boulevard that runs right alongside the Pacific Ocean, and that was pretty scary. But I've always felt strongly that this information I have is of extreme importance historically, and very significant, and very relevant even today, 45 years later. What I have to offer in my book is a detailed account of what I put together from all of my father's conversations, from the tape recording he sent me. Where you can hear this recording of his voice on my website. There's a link there. You can click it and you'll hear my father in his own real voice, confessing his involvement, and some of the key players in the assassination. Now, people have always, thought that the assassination of JFK was a huge, conspiracy, and how could this conspiracy involve so many people? Well, it really didn't. In the 50s and 60s, there was an elite group of CIA officers that headed a very secret black operation section called the Executive Action Committee. And the Executive Action was a euphemism for the assassination of unfriendly foreign leaders. Now, the people that were involved in this were Cord Meyer. He was the chief of station of Great Britain. He also personally hated Kennedy because his ex-wife had been a mistress to JFK for many years.
Cord Meyer was also the handler. We have the national security documents of the Clintons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they were going to Oxford, yeah.
Yeah. Bill Harvey was Also, one of the chief operatives for the executive action black op operations to assassinate unfriendly foreign leaders. He was stationed over in Italy in Rome, and there's a memo that has surfaced from Bill Harvey to his CIA bosses, suggesting that they use Corsican hitmen for any assassination of foreign leaders rather than using the American mafia.
Well, they always use go-betweens. They always use, so they have the plausible deniability and degrees of separation between each envelope.
That's right. And these were an elite group of CIA operatives that were very familiar with how to put assassinations together, how to carry them out, and how to cover their tracks or cover their asses after the assassination was over. Antonio Veciana was the vicious leader of anti-Castro Alpha 66, who worked as a contract agent for the CIA. He was handled by David Phillips, and he met with Oswald in Mexico in 1963, according to my father.
Stay there. Let's talk more about this in the book. Final segment with St. John Hunt straight ahead, and then we're scheduled to have Dennis Kucinich popping in with a big impeachment hearing coming up in less than 48 hours. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network, Infowars.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports is suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural, organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information.
Natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is the key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet from the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
Please sit down and shut up.
Stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, then
next 5 years, we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at prisonplanet.tv right now or get the DVD.
We're about 10 minutes away from having Dennis Kucinich on briefly. Very, very busy coming up with impeachment in the House Judiciary Committee Friday. This is a big, big deal. Huge news on Willie Nelson in article format coming out in the next 30 minutes or so by Kurt Nimmo at Infowars.com. It'll also be posted on PrisonPlanet.com. People have been lobbying me to try to get Ventura out to a 9/11 event, try to get Willie Nelson out to one, try to get Charlie Sheen out to one. And I already got Charlie Sheen out to one, and I just had never asked. But a caller called in and said, why don't you do it? And Willie Nelson said, yeah, I want to do that. But I'm not going to – you see, Willie Nelson's going to do what he wants. He has the band. He has the tour buses. He has the millions of dollars in equipment. They are the ones that are going to choose where to do a venue. Now, they want me to advise them and be part of picking who comes and speaks. Okay, we've talked off air already. And I'm talking to him in the morning, but everybody's going crazy. We're getting phone calls, emails. Willie Nelson is running things, not Alex Jones, and certainly not some of you out there. So don't, well, you can't stop him from doing it. He's doing it. You can't, so you can, people can try to take it over, do whatever they're going to do. It's not going to work. So good luck. Go ahead. And just like people tried to take over my LA thing, it didn't work. I'm tired of, I want to fight the New World Order. I want to have a big media event. I want to get it on C-SPAN. I want to get TV coverage to try to stop the war. Will this be a magic bullet? Somebody put this in here. No, but it's something. It's the right spirit, the right direction. I think it's going to be big. In the time we have left with St. John Hunt, I'll have him back up next week if he can do it for a full hour to take your calls, because I love the different directions callers take us. In the last 5-6 minutes we've got left, St. John, other key points you want to make?
Well, some of the key points covered in my book are the handwritten memo that includes the admission finally that my father wrote down that he and Frank Sturgis had been lifelong friends. Now, this is key because he'd always maintained that he never met Frank Sturgis until he put together the crew for the Watergate break-in. Now, why this is important is because Frank Sturgis and my father were accused of being two of the three tramps in Dealey Plaza. And of course, my father denied his entire life that he ever knew Frank Sturgis until the 70s. Well, Dealey Plaza, of course, was the Kennedy assassination. That was in 63. And now in this book, I reveal in a handwritten memo that in fact, my father did finally admit that he had known Frank Sturgis during that time. So this book just chips away a little bit more at the conspiracy. I don't claim to have figured the entire...
Are you kidding? You know, chips away?
Yeah.
It isn't just that your book or your father's audio or videotapes. Nobody's seen the video. We've got it. We're going to put a little clip out soon. But I keep meaning to. We're just so busy.
Yeah, Alex, I want to make available to you the entire 10 hours, which I have down. Available. I'll make that available to you to do what you want with.
Well, as soon as September's over, all we're working on is the JFK thing. We're working on it some now, but Burma's got us to help him with his film, and that's got to be done for September 1st. So it's everything's insane. But we're going to send Rob out there for a week with you, if that's okay, to interview you, get copies of all this, you know, interview you there in Northern California. And then we got some other interviews we're going to do. So absolutely.
Okay.
But, I mean, you say it chips away a little bit. This is bombshell info.
Well, it really is. But, you know, on the broader scale, on the larger scale, the JFK conspiracy is just a part of the entire conspiracy of the New World Order. To dupe the American public and to basically rob us of our rights and to establish martial law, which we're just a hair's breadth away from.
Well, it's the same crew, and then you look at the presidents and people that come after, and the heads of the CIA and the heads of Congress are the people involved in running the black op that day in Dealey Plaza back in 1963. So it is just a repeat over and over again of the same nightmare. It's like Groundhog Day or something. And
it
we have to put an end to it. It has to stop. And,
yeah.
and I mentioned that Rick Linklater showed some of my films to the diehard star, Bruce Willis. And he went from being a neocon follower to now, I told you before it was in Vanity Fair, he came out and said, yeah, the same people that killed Kennedy are involved in, you know, running things today in 9/11. So
yeah.
There it was confirmed behind the scenes. Bruce Willis had woken up. the neocons freaked out and tried to deny it and said, we talked to one of Bruce Willis's friends. He says that's not the case. But then he did an interview with Vanity Fair. I haven't even tried to get Bruce Willis on. You know what? Remind me. I want to get Willis on and see how folks like
good
that. Oh, yeah. Man. People say that we are always having big stars on here. Most of the time, Charlie Sheen, you name it, they come to us, which is great. They want to speak out, and then it gets the big attention. And it isn't because they think they're important. It's because they understand that that will get media attention, and they are important because they have courage. Well, St. John, I just really want to thank you for coming on with us. I want to set you up next week for an hour to open you up to the listeners so they can ask you questions and give out your website one more time.
My website, stjohnhunt.com, spell it out, S-A-I-N-T, johnhunt.com. And for those of you that download the book, it's only $12.95. It's a real good read. I've got so many compliments. People just can't put it down when they read it. And it's filled with all the memos, the handwritten documents that my father gave me,
absolutely,
and personal family photographs. And feel free to contact me through my website. Let me know what you think of it.
St. John, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much, my friend. While we're lining Kucinich up, he's supposed to call in here, but we'll see what goes on. While we're doing that, go ahead and play a few minutes of the clip of him he put out yesterday on YouTube. We have a link to it on Infowars.com, calling for people to support him and explaining why he's taking this bold step. Here it is.
I want to thank you for the support which you have given to my efforts to hold this administration accountable for taking us into a war based on lies, and for the destruction of the rule of law and the destruction of cherished constitutional principles. Because of your support, this Friday in Washington, D.C., I will make a presentation before the Judiciary Committee of the House of Representatives, at which time I will make the case that this president has violated his oath of office, violated United States law and international law, has separated our nation from our Constitution, and has taken us on a course that has been so profoundly anti-democratic that it has threatened the core of our nation. Because of your support, I've been able to advance this series of matters right to the table of the Judiciary Committee. Because of your support, I've been able to create an opening where we're finally getting a chance in Washington to discuss the abuses of power, to discuss a war based on lies, to discuss the whole architecture.
He's here, Jones.
Of constitutional principles that have been taken down. Every serious matter that faces the people of this country today can be linked to an administration which is not accountable. For example, the price of gasoline. You know that Vice President Cheney, with the permission and blessing of President Bush, held secret meetings with leaders of the oil industry where they laid out maps of Iraq far in advance of the attack on Iraq. You know, and I know, the war was about oil. And if we can force the Vice President of the United States to have to testify, we can get the information that's necessary to be able to prove that not only has U.S. law been violated, but that the public trust has been under a continuous assault by an alliance between the White House and the oil companies.
Okay.
Look at the
ladies and gentlemen, you can watch the rest of him eloquently lay it out on his congressional website. We have links to it up on Infowars.com. Now, I want to be clear, we only have him for a little while, Congressman Kucinich. I got Willie Nelson on the show today. I called him and said, hey, do you want to come on and support Mr. Kucinich's impeachment? He said, absolutely, let's do it today. And I'm getting a lot of other prominent people. Ron Paul on tomorrow, though his plane almost went down yesterday. he's going to be on tomorrow talking about it and some other issues. So I'm trying myself in my own little way to get as much heat on the Judiciary Committee as we can. And Congressman, very brave man, our champion up there right now, leading the pack in the fight against tyranny. How do we support you, sir?
Well, I think you're already doing it in getting people involved to sign a petition. But, you know, this goes a little bit further. The best defense of a country is an informed citizenry. So people should read the articles, and if there's anything I missed in the 35 articles, I'd be happy to hear from people. And furthermore, if there's if we have discussions around the country on this, if people start getting together in groups and talk and have a discussion, a constitutional caucus is going on everywhere where people talk about what's the meaning of the Constitution, why should someone who's president of the United States be held accountable to the law? What happens when there are untruths told in a democracy that result in war? What are the consequences? We need a discussion about this because the discussion will increase awareness, and increased awareness will help protect our country from tyranny.
Absolutely, sir. Can you go over the process and what we're going to be seeing Friday?
First of all, I want to say that to you, Alex Jones, that you are one of the people who has been keeping the public informed to the point where we've had such a public outcry that the hearings have been brought forward. I don't know that it could have happened without you. I really mean that, because it's like, unless we get people who are really demanding that an airing of these charges be held, it wouldn't happen. So on Friday, what's going to happen is this. I will present the articles to the committee and talk about why I believe the committee should move to a formal hearing, and of course, with taking testimony under oath of both the president and the vice president. I think it's really important for the American people to know once and for all if, in fact, there were deliberate lies told that took this country into war. We know now that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction, but people knew back then in October of 2002. That Iraq didn't have the weapons. They knew that Iraq wasn't a threat. They knew that Iraq didn't have the intention or capability of attacking the United States, had nothing to do with 9/11 or Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11, and yet they led the people of the United States and led the Congress in particular to believe otherwise. And this, to me, constitutes a grave offense. And this is one of the primary reasons why I push this right to the point of where we finally opened up the doors to the Judiciary Committee, and at which time I'm going to be putting on the table something that everyone said was off the table, articles of impeachment.
Well, we're looking at several major issues here, and I'd like you to, as quickly as you can, address those in the time we have, Congressman Kucinich, who needs to be in all our prayers, ladies and gentlemen. This is very dangerous what he's doing. Needless to say, we all need to be supporting him right now with phone calls, letters to the Judiciary Committee, to their congressmen and women, to the media. A, the media is involved in a huge cover-up of this, other than maybe Keith Olbermann mentioning it a little bit. How do we force the mainstream media? I mean, this is thousands of times what Nixon did, and that got major attention, and rightfully so. There is almost a news blackout on what's happening. That's first. And then secondarily, we must bring them to justice because they're getting ready to commit more crimes with the attack on Iran. They've got their talking points out. The word is from Congressman Paul and others and CIA people we know, they are going to hit in October or September, maybe after, they think McCain's going to be elected. So we're also looking at them committing new crimes that may dwarf the previous ones. Can you speak to both those points?
Well, you know, as I hear you speak, I really get chills because I realize the danger that our country's in right now. And not only are we in one war based on manufactured representations, but we are headed towards another. Your listeners right now have a lot of power, and here's what you can do. Get on the phone today and demand that people cover this Judiciary Committee hearing on Friday. You know, it's not as though the media exists in a vacuum. They exist because people watch them or listen to them. And if anyone's listening right now and there's a show that you tend to watch, whether it's on the big networks or on the cable networks, call them. Call them today. Call them tomorrow. Tell them there's a Judiciary Committee hearing on Friday in Washington, at which time executive abuse of power is going to be discussed, and at which time Congressman Kucinich will be making a presentation regarding the articles of impeachment, and that you think it's important, that you, the listener, think it's important.
Well, imagine, ladies and gentlemen, I want your take on this, Congressman. How could it not be on every news channel? How could it not be preempting the soap operas? I mean, this is huge news. They admit they committed these felonies. There's no debating it, from torture to lying about WMDs, premeditated. The list goes on and on. 35 of these that are open and shut. I mean, we better see this on television. Right now, it looks like we're not going to be, unless it's C-SPAN.
Well, this is something that is really depends on the people. And if the people have a strong enough outcry, I think you can create something that will be different than what the networks are currently planning.
Congressman, how were you able to even get it to this point? I mean, they were saying that couldn't be done, and you've done that.
I'll say it again, Alex. You're one of the people with your listeners who have helped to raise public awareness to the point of where I think the speaker had to understand that there needed to be an airing, whether or not it would be a formal hearing only on the impeachment articles. I think, you know, the fact that we're able to open the door is a big event, and it gives us for the first time a chance to talk about impeachment in front of a congressional committee. I think that it happened because of the people, because everyone started to get involved, and, you know, that gave me a great deal of encouragement to hang in there. But there's a lot of people out there. You know, we've had close to 50,000 people sign that petition, and we have more people who are giving, sending. I just got a box of petitions yesterday, a full box that weighs about 25 pounds of petitions from all over the country, people who are demanding that the House take action.
How do folks sign the petition? They can go to your website, can't they?
I have a website that I think you already have been talking about, and but again, please call the media and tell them that they ought to be covering this, because this is a matter of public interest. And, you know, at last, this is about our Constitution. This is about whether or not we stay a republic, and whether or not we have principles that are bedrock principles that protect our freedoms. Our freedoms are on the line. You cannot stay a free nation if a government will go to war based on lies and will raise the budgets of a military to the point of where there isn't room for anything else, and just keep building, and it's not based on the truth. You know, we all will defend our country in a moment of need. It's a responsibility we have. But woe to that person who tells the American people and our soldiers that they got to go to war, and the fact is they misrepresent the case for the war. Woe to those people. And that's why I brought forward those articles.
Well, Congressman, we'll be watching. What time is this scheduled for on Friday?
I've been told 10 o'clock is when the committee will start. So, I am so grateful for the Alex Jones Show, because you know, great Americans. I'm also grateful that Mr. Paul was okay. I saw him on the floor of the House today, and, you know, he's a very cool hand, and he said, as a former flight surgeon, he kind of understood what happened when there was a decompression. But I'm glad he was okay, because when I heard that some of my colleagues that were on a plane that was in trouble, let me tell you, it gave me a lot of pause. But he's okay, and looking forward to working with him, not only reclaim our civil liberties, but to stop a war against Iran.
Congressman, in closing, I know you're a busy man. I'd like to try to get an update next week on what happened Friday from you or from one of your aides.
Call me. Let's talk, okay? I'll get back to you at any time.
Okay, well, we're accelerating towards the Iran situation. We're going to support the impeachment. Hopefully it's going to go somewhere. If we can get this out in front of the people, it could certainly be a way of short-circuiting the attack, but looking forward into that, do you think currently they really are still planning to go into Iran or to bomb Iran?
Yes. I mean, all the signs that we're seeing would point to that. There was a very important column in the New York Times last week by Benny Morris, who is a professor of Middle East studies, and it was out of Jerusalem. And he really, more than anything, identified that the period between the inauguration and the election and the inauguration of the president is the period to keep an eye on for a possible attack.
Well,
and we know that there are people in Israel who are pushing it. We also know that there are people in the U.S. government are pushing it, and we have to push back in the cause of peace and justice. And I'm always hopeful that the American people given the facts and having the awareness, will stand up and defend the Constitution and stop aggressive war and stop the catastrophe from being visited on the world.
Okay, Congressman, the website is Kucinich.house.gov.
Well, that's my, I have two, you know, that's my government website.
Yes.
And then, of course, I have the personal one, which I think you have.
Yes.
Do you have that one?
I've plugged several. There was also the Kucinich for President one. Which one should we plug?
Well, it's you know, I'm just letting you know, I have a number of different websites. One is the one on the government site that you've identified.
Yes.
And I have another campaign one. I can't tell you this on the phone that I'm on. But if you check, I do have a campaign website that you ought to check.
I know, the ridiculous campaign rules.
Yeah, I'm careful all the time, just so you know.
Absolutely. Well, there's so many of these websites. What I'll do is, before the show ends, I will plug all those. But just Google Dennis Kucinich, and you can find them all there.
Yes.
Congressman, thank you for everything. I just want to let you know in closing, I talked to Willie today. A caller called in and said, why don't you guys have an anti-war, anti-attack Iran concert? And Willie said, Alex, you organize it, so I want to invite you and Jesse Ventura now. It'll be in the next few months. It'll probably be in New York or Austin or somewhere like that to have you.
It would be great to be there. And, of course, since you called him, Willie Nelson is such a great American. And, you know, he's somebody who isn't particularly ideological. He really comes from the heartland and wants to do what's right for America. And what a he is, what a great man he is, and I'm just grateful to be mentioned in the same breath. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Congressman.
Bye now.
Be careful, and we're all behind you here. Wow, an amazing interview, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we skipped a break for some stations out there that still carried the break. We were talking to him behind the scenes. This will all be posted the next few hours at prisonplanet.tv for all the members, and then it'll be posted all over the web. Please. Help us get this information out to everybody. And just so many big developments today. I am going to be posting up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com the next hour or so. Big article Kurt Nemo is doing about what happened today with Willie Nelson. If any of you missed that, it's not on the web yet. It's going to be re-aired back-to-back. In fact, he was on the very start of the show, coming into the show hot. Was actually on at the 8 after with the most amazing interview I've ever heard with Willie Nelson. I mean, the first two interviews we did were great, but this one was really free-flowing and powerful and just amazing. We took phone calls. It starts on the rebroadcast at Infowars.com in T-minus about 3.5 minutes. And we had Mark Kornke on. We had William Pepper on. We had, of course, St. John Hunt on and Congressman Dennis Kucinich. As you just heard, I mean, just this, my producer, Trey Kincaid, doing a fabulous job, all trying to fight the New World Order here, trying to bring you the best radio we can to inform and uplift and empower you to know what we're really facing and dealing with. We're on the AM and FM dial. Be sure and support all those wonderful affiliates and their sponsors, the network sponsors. Please tell people about the free podcast that about 50,000 people are getting a day, hundreds of thousands a week, millions listening on the AM and FM, hundreds of thousands on the shortwave. Hundreds of thousands on micros out there. We're just thankful to everybody that picks up the show and carries it. But you, the listeners, whether you're listening on AM and FM, you know, Kansas City or Austin, Texas, or wherever, or shortwave or satellite or internet, tell your friends, your neighbors, your family, your coworkers, because there's no doubt we're the tip of the spear. This is the front lines of the info war. We do it like nobody else. You know, get films like Truth Rising. It needs to be seen. It won't be seen unless you carry the ball. So Truth Rising, download it on PrisonPlanet.tv right now. Get it out to everybody. Get the books, the videos, the materials, the films we carry, like the Money Masters, so people understand the private bankers that literally own our country through fraud. We got to educate the police and military. Most of them are good men and women. They just don't understand what's happening. They're starting to wake up. We're headed into incredibly dangerous waters. Everything is intensifying. We had Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul scheduled to be on tomorrow. Just absolutely amazing. But again, the next 4 hours is about to re-air. Kucinich, Willie Nelson. I told you I was going to call him last week, and him on this week, but I forgot. This morning said, you know, I'll call Willie. Boom, answers the phone. Boom, comes on. You're about to hear that in 2 minutes at Infowars.com on the stream, or subscribe to the free podcast. Share it with people. Pass it around. Post it on YouTube. We're also posting it for PrisonPlanet.tv members in super high quality. InfoWars.com, 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 or PrisonPlanet.com, or TruthNews.us, or ArnoldExposed.com, or JonesReport.com, or InfoWars. I mentioned InfoWars.net. Just help us get the Willie Nelson news out. This is huge. Retransmission, again, now on the Internet. If you miss Willie, right now at InfoWars.com. The first rebroadcast of it starts right now. Great job, John Harmon, up at Genesis 2. Great job, John.
Thank you, Jones. I bet your head's spinning now.
.com, InfoWars.com, InfoWars.com, or PrisonPlanet.com, or TruthNews.us, or ArnoldExposed.com, or JonesReport.com, or InfoWars. I mentioned InfoWars.net. Just help us get the Willie Nelson news out. This is huge. Retransmission, again, now on the Internet. If you miss Willie, right now at InfoWars.com. The first rebroadcast of it starts right now. Great job, John Harmon, up at Genesis 2.